on WRIF in WRIF HD1 Detroit.
Say you want a revolution. Well, you know.
The revolution starts now.
Welcome to the award-winning Night Call, the Riff's phone-in talk show on 101 WRIF Detroit. Our number, 313-298-WRIF. Now, here's the host of Night Call, Peter Werby.
Thank you very much, and welcome everybody. Welcome, Jalene Jordan.
Thank you, Peter. I was just thinking about the revolution starts now, you know, our open, and we do have a mini revolution every Sunday right here on WRIF.
But we've got to project it out of people's minds and into the real world. I mean, not that our minds aren't the real world.
Into the streets.
Yeah, well, and partly into the streets. I mean, that's what's interesting. I mean, how do we bring about real change that benefits the majority of people and not just the elites? I mean, the elites, you know, they screwed us, right? This time, big time. And they were the reigning geniuses, the rulers of the universe, right? And they always exuded such confidence, such this sense of privilege and power and everything that
and
comes.
And righteousness.
And self-righteousness.
Yes.
Yeah. And the fact that they've sent so much of it down the drain really does not seem to erode at least their public persona.
Right.
They were a little chagrined. Some of the audio executives who got beat up on, but the people that are really calling the tunes, the masters of the universe, the Wall Street guys, that's a problem. Well, the stocks have extended a 4-week rally. Actually, it went up the Dow Jones average, which is this figure that I don't even begin to. You know, people say, you know, that the stock market is like, say, 7,978. And people sometimes say, 7,978 what?
Right.
Okay.
Crapshoots.
Yeah, right. It's a composite figure that has to do with what essentially measures the overall value of the stock market. And as we know, it's dropped, at some point almost 50%, which is nothing like it did during the 1920s. It dropped to like 83% of value.
Wow.
that it was eroded. But now it's up 20% over the last month, which is the biggest percentage gain in a 4-week period since the spring of 1933, when the depression was just roaring ahead.
That's a big statement there.
Yeah, so it's bits of good news about the economy, some better-than-expected numbers on housing. People are starting to buy housing because, I mean, I know people...
They're buying up all the inexpensive...
Well, not just the speculators. I know people that are looking at a house in the suburb of Oak Park for $22,000.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah, the house next door to mine is for sale, and it is $40,000 less than I paid for mine.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are these the Stoners?
No,
that was the other house.
That's right. Every other house on the block.
Before we get going, I should say I was coming back from Baltimore yesterday on a plane, and just as we took off, the pilot said, "Well, I'm sorry to tell you that the Spartans are losing as we take off."
Oh.
But then they announced the final with the Spartans winning by 9 points.
Yeah.
And the whole plane. Tomorrow night.
It's 9:08 or 9:06 or something. It's
right.
It's kind of late.
Yeah. Are you making any personal appearances with that?
I did yesterday. I was down in the middle of it all. I mean, right there in front of Ford Field. And, I mean, there were so many thousands of people down there.
Outside.
Outside.
Was anybody drinking?
Every person was drinking, except for me, until the end.
Well, you can't. You're a broadcast personality.
Listen, I signed off, and lo and behold, I ran into a friend and said, "Let's go to the bar." So there I went with the rest of the crazy Spartan fans.
Well, I've got my Spartans.
Oh, you do.
Coffee cup.
You are. Mm-hmm. Yes, you are wearing the green.
Well, I went to Michigan State.
You did?
I did.
I knew you went to Wayne State, didn't you?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, but I didn't graduate from either. But I guess
Your grades?
I don't know. I can't. You know, they weren't bad.
Can you focus in class?
No, I'm too ADD. That was it. Anything I had to study for or focus on, I didn't do well. I dropped.
I'm the same way, but I'm a really good. I can cram very well.
Yeah. Are we in the air? Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
sorry. Yeah, this is a talk show, folks. Peter Werby, Jillian Jordan with you.
And we do talk about politics.
Yes, 313-298-WRIF, 313-298-9743. And I don't want to get a lot of calls on this, and I know you don't know the answer, but who is favored between the Spartans and North Carolina? Do you have an
idea? I don't know.
Okay, an email. Don't call us. Send an email at calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Calltalkyes@yahoo.com. And the Spartans actually got beaten real badly by North Carolina earlier in the season by,
oh,
I mean, something like 25 points or 30 points.
You have more knowledge than me right there.
Yeah, well, you know, I got to follow this stuff a little.
Right.
All right, stock market. So it's up to 8,000. Was up to 14,000 about...
8 years ago?
No, about 8 months ago.
Oh.
Everybody now is happy it's up to 8,000. But this is not doing much for the ordinary person. And that's what's the problem of the Obama response to all of this. That the hope, this is really in many ways a trickle-down theory. That is that if you promote the wealthy, you promote the corporations, then it will benefit those of us, the hoi polloi, those of us with the thatched roofs, the peasants.
It's not working.
Well, admittedly, it's going to take some time if it will work or not. And a lot of people, forget about the right wing. They're such whack dogs
to
say. But there's been a lot of criticism, all of which I think is justified, on the left, and not even so far left. People like Paul Krugman, who's the Nobel Prize winning economist in the New York Times.
Right.
And this concern is that this may eventually stabilize the markets, eliminate all this toxic debt, get the banks lending again, get these industries back on their feet and producing and people buying and what have you. But the debt is at such a level. And a lot of my friends, all of who are on the left, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The most conservative friend I have is probably a far left radical.
I know. I love it.
But no, they're just ordinary people.
They really are. I remember one time I was bringing a friend over to your house for a gathering, and it was all of your like-minded folks from the publication that you work on.
Yeah.
And she was just like, she goes, oh, wow. What's this going to be like? I mean, and I said, you will be so, they're all very normal, and it's very, it's just a nice little gathering.
It was.
She was surprised. She thought you were all going to have, mohawks and I don't know.
Well, I have a mohawk.
Being wearing your bandana around your face.
Actually, you can't have headphones on and have a mohawk, can you?
You can't.
That would be a really weird looking
mohawk. It would be really
mohawk.
Hard.
Yeah. I'm having too much fun. I'm sort of losing my train of thought. Oh, I know. So a lot of my friends on the left are understandably critical of the Obama plan, which is essentially is to restore things as they have been, but with some more controls on it, to not let this get out of hand, which was started with Reagan. Naturally went through Bush, and Clinton didn't do anything, and, of course, George Bush sent it all to hell. So there's not much that is turning the corner from what got us in this problem in the first place. So to restore things as they are, the hope is, of course, that the things won't go out of control again because we'll have all these controls so that these exotic financial instruments, as they call them and what have you, won't sink us again. But some people are really going for a lot of different ways to deal with this. And one, of course, as you, Julian Jordan, mentioned earlier, was direct action, which is always good because one of the things that Barack Obama does not have, and that's the political space to do something really radical. He's not doing anything really radical now. If he's doing, if this isn't appropriate, it is wrong, but it's not radical. Debt to solve problems is not unusual. I mean, a lot of us, or most of us, have personal debt and frequently, do all nations, most nations, whatever, also have a running debt as well. If this is a debt that goes out of control, that creates enormous inflation, which are real possibilities, this is going to be a worse disaster. And instead of Bush being Hoover, Barack Obama could turn out to be Hoover for all his best intentions. Now, George Bush and acting out the final curtain of Reaganomics, he had malign evil, bad intentions, which was to increase the power and the wealth of the already wealthy, whereas Barack Obama is genuinely trying to solve these problems. However, as I said, the political space isn't there. If he really started to do things like take apart the stock market and do almost abolish all speculative capital, mm-hmm. or, I don't know, relieve great amounts of debt that exists, just to, you know, just cancel debt for a lot of ordinary people, or, I don't know, I'm trying to think, well, here's one. I was going to start with the direct action, but there's something called a new way forward. And this, you can go to their website, anewwayforward.org, anewwayforward.org. And they are doing both direct action and policy suggestions. So there's like 12 million people unemployed, foreclosures up 81%. And they say Wall Street has taken over. We must break up the banks and never again let them get so big that they distort our politics and take down the economy. Now, as I said, Barack Obama does not have the political space in which to do this. You and I, and I'm not talking about you and me, Julian, although right. I include us, I'm talking about all of you listening. And if you're not just going to piss and moan, just, you know, going, like the elites have it. I mean, we do that here. This is a talk show. This isn't a town meeting. It's not a public demonstration. It's not a congressional hearing. This is where we're supposed to P&M, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. That's what it's here for. In fact, you can call 313-298-WRIF.
313-298-9743.
But ultimately, if we want our lives to change, if we don't want to just be chips of wood on this ocean of that the elites have created and hoping, remember, you know, the audacity of hope. Well, I want to go beyond hope. I mean, we have to act, folks. I'm not even a big fan of hope. I mean, you hope that your medical tests come back good. You hope it doesn't rain when there's a wedding outside or something like that. But we have to intervene in history. And our ancestors have done this forcefully. And they did it in 1776. And I'm not talking about force of arms, like more and more of these nutball right-wingers are talking about. The founding fathers didn't say, all right, let's get our guns and shoot all the British down in the street. They declared their independence. They signed some documents that said that we're now an independent country, and we have this foundation document that provides all these rights and responsibilities for government and for individuals. And that's the revolution. The counter-revolution was violent. The British said, wait a minute, you know, we stole this land from the native people. We killed all the original inhabitants. We ethnically cleansed this area so Europeans could come over here and live. You're not taking this away from us. And so then, you know, the Revolutionary War ensued. But anyway, here from the group, anewwayforward.org, and it's pretty, a lot of ways, mainstream. Joe Trippi, that's a trippy name, isn't it?
It is.
I think he's like a Clintonite. But William Greider, who's the national correspondent for The Nation magazine, so people like that, so that I have respect for within the liberal establishment. So we're still not going, you know, like really far out. You know, this isn't socialism or communism, anything like that. Anyway, they say any bank that's, quote, too big to fail means that it's too big for a free market to function. The financial corporations that caused this mess must be broken up and sold back to the private market with strong new regulatory and antitrust rules in place. New banks managed by new people, and then an independent regulatory body. As Wall Street corporations grew bigger and bigger, bigger until they were too big to fail, they also became so politically powerful that they led to distorted and unfair policies that serve, guess who? Not the people, but the company.
No.
So that's what this is all about. So what are they going to do? I mean, they have a number of policy decisions suggestions. You can go to anewwayforward.org. But they want to create public support for all this. They want to put millions of people in the street. That's where you and I come in. If you're just going to complain about this, or worse, if you're just going to accept all this and just hope that the elites bail us out, then, well, keep hoping. You know, but you can be part of history, just like generations before us were part of history, made history. Sometimes elites make history. Oftentimes the people do. Or what happens often is the people are making history, and the elites go, "Whoa, we gotta take charge of this," or you know, they're going to get rid of our butt along with it. So if you go to anewwayforward.org, there are demonstrations all over the country from Anchorage, Alaska to Ottawa, Ontario. But in the United States, down to they stopped being, they're not alphabetical order. There's one in Detroit as well. This is all going to happen next Saturday, April 11th. And I'll tell you, I got to be honest with, and why I say that, because I'm always honest with you.
True. I think it's just one of those sayings that kind of...
Yeah. Well, I mean, you want to emphasize this. One of the few disappointments in this program that I've been doing for quite a few years is that people don't respond actively to it. People have written me hundreds, maybe even thousands of emails and letters over the years saying how what they've heard here has altered their view of the world. And that doesn't get a bigger compliment than that.
True, very true.
And yet, if I say this is going to happen this Saturday, and I think it's in downtown Detroit. Well, I don't know why I didn't, because it just, you click to it and then it takes you there. Let me see if I can find this while I'm talking. Oh, yeah, it's the City County Building, but I don't know what the time is. But if you go to anewwayforward.org, or if you email me at calltalkyes@yahoo.com and send me the information, I'll do that. Or you can go to my website, Peter Werbe, WERBE.com, PeterWerbe.com. Anyway, the point being, sometimes we'll be all fired up about something and everybody's mad about something, and I'd say, well, there's something happening tomorrow. Come on out. I remember one guy who, of the thousands of you listening, came and he said, where's all the rest of your listeners? And I said, I don't know.
That's a good question.
And I'll tell you, if there's 100 demonstrators down there, there'd be a little note maybe in the day, you know, the Free Press and the News, maybe on television or something like that. If there's 1,000, there's going to be another perception of it. If there's 10,000, there's more. If there's 100,000, which I would say at this point is absolutely impossible.
By the way, the website is anewwayforward.org, just so you know.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't know. Did I say .com?
You did.
Okay. Well, I won't say that anymore.
And Detroit, Michigan. Oh, wait. Let me press more. I'll find out what time this is.
Okay. Here is what happened in Rome. We talk about people coming out and what we're missing here. See, one of the things that we haven't built yet is enough leadership to create the momentum, the mass movement that can force decisions out of the elite arena. I think Barack Obama would be pleased to not have to function within an elite context. Here in Rome, and this was on Saturday, almost 3 million workers, pensioners, immigrants, and students filled a Rome park on Saturday in protest at the Italian government's handling of the financial crisis, led by Italy's largest union.
This is what's important. Yeah, and it's just not happening here.
For those of you who are, you know, who down unions, this is who leads movements for the people. No one else does this. There's been other throughout American history. There's been things, the populist movement, things like that. And one of their slogans, their banners, together to build a different future. Right now, we're looking at a future that we hope will be restored like it was, but it's never going to be like it was. It's not going to be Fat City like it was. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to be a diminished future from what we even expected. Remember, we were always saying, well, this is going to be the first generation where the kids didn't do better than the parents. Well, all of us might wind up doing a lot worse. But let me see, the Guglielmo. How do you say his name? Epifani told the throng with banners reading things like "Down with the new Mussolini," which was referring to the government of the Silvio Berlusconi. He said there's too big a gap between what needs to be done and what is being done. So right now, we just watch this. We watch it on the news, we watch it on the cable, or we just ignore it totally, figuring, I can't understand anything that's going on anyway.
Right.
But the time is now to intervene in our future. There is less mainstream here, 3 million people in Rome, but protesters, you probably saw that, fighting with the police at the Bank of England, burning buildings today, I think it was, in Strasbourg. There was a NATO meeting, and there was these masked protesters faced off with thousands of cops and thousands of them, burned three buildings.
Whoa. Getting all rad on
Us. They are pretty rad. So, there you go.
Well, and Obama and Michelle were...
Yeah, the hits.
They were the hit over there. Did you see the part where they gave the Queen of England an iPod?
No.
And they gave the, what is it, the French, Sarkozy's wife, Carla Bruni, the model singer. You know,
isn't it nice to have...
Gave her a guitar.
A president that says Sarkozy or Sarkozy, which is his name, instead of... Bush used to call him Sarkozy.
So, I think I just did.
No, you said Sarkozy, but he think that.
Well, he just...
What a hit they are. How loved these people are. On the other hand, the right wing, in its evil ferocity, has so demonized Barack Obama already.
They're really bad.
Yeah. In fact, the gulf, the partisan gulf, is more intense. Well, they went crazy about Clinton. Clinton was this center-rightist. He wasn't even a center-leftist. I mean, hopefully Barack Obama is kind of, I would say he's a center-leftist. But that's not a leftist, folks.
Right.
That's a centrist. That's someone who's in the center of things. He would be in some moderate party in Europe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a couple of things that he's done over the last few days that I was happy to read about is, you know, meeting with what is his name? Medvedev. Yeah. Meeting with the Russia's leader and, you know, saying, hey, let's start over after the last 4 years, you know. And so that was good. And hopefully we can convince Russia to do something for us so we can quit talking about putting that, what was it, some kind of a base over there.
Yeah, that missile base.
Missile base.
Which is totally insane.
And then what was the other thing? Talking about basically about getting rid of nukes.
Yeah, well, that was absolutely astounding, actually. Why do I have fantasy baseball up here and not the screen that I thought I was going to have? Oh, well. This is very important, what you brought up, because the World Bank sees the economy in Russia worsening. And there's at least 6 million Russians have been pushed into poverty. And there's a fascist movement in Russia, this heavily nationalistic movement, that's what happens in times of poverty. And that's what happened in Europe during the 1930s, and there was a fascist movement in this country, which, of course, was supported by the conservatives and the Nazis and the brown shirts and the black shirts and all the fascists in Spain and Italy and Romania and Poland and Hungary were all backed by the conservatives. Because that when the conservative and by the way, just the liberals did not support the communists, and the communists, whenever they took power, got rid of the liberals right away. But the fascists and conservatives are always in bed together. I see what's happening here because I must have somebody else's screen because it's moving.
You know, that's something about whatever you're doing on the computer in this building, anyone can watch.
Yeah. Hey, wow!
Except for me, because I have a laptop.
Yeah. This is, who's got the porn going here?
Really?
No.
You got me.
Yeah. Anyway.
You know, after, we used to have the Playboy channel here.
Right.
But after there was a certain DJ who left.
Yeah.
And this was a while ago. This isn't recent. They got rid of the Playboy channel. It was just for one person.
He would have it on all the time. I mean, it was so bizarre, you know.
We're talking about a different one. I'll tell you later.
Okay.
We can't name names.
No, but the thing that was so weird here is that pornography used to be so forbidden, and yet I'd walk in and there's just these, you know, XXX going on, and any kind of glance over it. I mean, you know, 50 years ago, maiden form bra ads were like risque, and then now, anyway.
Right, that's very true. Anyway,
are we on the air?
So, are we back to the right screen?
Yeah, back to the right screen. Russia getting deepening its economic woes, and if a fascist government came to power in Russia, and there's this big nationalist movement there that sees the entire West and Israel as the enemies of the Russian people, they're very anti-Semitic. They would have, just like we worry about them getting these right-wing Islamic fundamentalists in Pakistan, mm-hmm. getting control of the weapons of Pakistan, the government has. Same thing there in Russia. So we ought to start really getting rid of these nukes as fast as we can. Let's see. Dmitry Medvedev of Russia, the president, he said they vowed a fresh start, as you said, Jolene. And he said, President Obama said, what we're seeing today is the beginning of new progress in U.S.-Russian relations. And he said, the relationship between the United States and Russia has suffered in recent years over a series of issues, from missile defense to NATO expansion to Russia's invasion of the Georgian territory of South Ossetia. Now, the first two things are the United States, under Bush, moving missiles, U.S. missiles, into countries that are on the border of Russia. Now, whose problem is that? That's a problem the United States created. That's a problem that George Bush created. That ought to be done with and removed.
Dick Cheney was right there.
Yeah. The next one is the expansion of NATO. Now, NATO is, we think of as, if people think about it at all, is just a sort of an alliance of like France and England and the United States and what have you. People along the North Atlantic. Ukraine and Belarus are not in the North Atlantic. They are on the periphery of Russia.
George Bush wanted it to be real bad.
Yeah. Russia is concerned because it's been invaded by the West in a catastrophic manner, twice by the Germans in the 20th century, once by the French, Napoleon, in the 19th century. So they have great concern about their security and sort of geopolitics, who controls what land masses. Again, as I always say, think about it here, that that Russia was engaging Mexico and Guatemala as being part of, during the Cold War, they had these, what the hell was it? This Eastern Bloc alliance. So that rather than the United States being the dominant power in North America and Mexico and Central America of Guatemala, that Russia would be the ones who were, that Russia was going to put missiles in Mexico. Hello?
Right.
Yeah, I don't think that would go down. And so that expanding NATO to... And why does the United States want to do this to Russia to begin with? I mean, why is it poking the bear? Why in the world would they do that? The other thing, Russia's invasion of Georgia, the country of Georgia, on its border, which is one of these bizarre things that go on in that region. And it was so complex what occurred there and who was responsible. But can we say invasion of Grenada, in the 1980s? I mean, the United States invaded the sovereign country on the weakest of pretexts. I mean, no different. In fact, weaker, much weaker than Russia's invasion of the Georgian area. So we should be making peace. We should be making friends, particularly with a country that has nuclear weapons. And one of the things that I'm trying to look in here quickly. Here it is. There's a lot, this is from a New York Times editorial this week. There's a lot President Obama can do right now to create momentum for serious change. He can start by unilaterally taking all of this country's nuclear weapons off of hair trigger alert. Hello? We are on hair, let me get rid of the we. The U.S. military nuclear strike force, which is committed under certain circumstances to first strike capacity. In other words, that peaceful loving Jimmy Carter, they moved the U.S. towards under certain circumstances, first strike capacity. In other words, that if we thought we were going to be attacked, we would attack first. Mm-hmm. And so, if you imagine now, the Russians are looking at us and they think that all of our nukes are on this hair trigger alert that could just obliterate their city. So guess what? Oh, so are all of theirs. So there are probably about, I don't know, 40, 50, 60 missiles on hair trigger alert aimed at Detroit City.
Right?
Yeah, right now. So we should think about getting those off.
Yeah, let's work on that one.
Yeah, I would like to work on it. Also, Obama should commit to eliminating the 200 to 300 short-range nuclear weapons this country has deployed in Europe. So why in the world does the United States have hundreds of nuclear tactical battlefield weapons aimed at the Soviet Union? Or, hello, that's what it's about. Soviet Union,
right.
It's about some 20-year-old thing. Can you say 20th century? So this is one of the things that has to be done. All right, Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan, we're at 313-298.
Oh.
WRIF, sorry.
So you have to finish it. 313-298-9743.
All right, let's get some of your calls right now. A lot of you have been waiting patiently, although some of you weren't so patient and have dropped off. So there are open lines right now. Here is Brendan. Brendan's listening to us in Southgate. Welcome to WRIF. Hi, you're on the air with us.
Hey, man.
What?
It's our friend.
Yeah.
What? Where's Cheech?
Cheech, man. Wow, man. Hey, I just want to talk to you about legalizing marijuana, man. I've been smoking marijuana for 35 years, and I still ain't addicted, man.
I can tell. Does it affect your thought process at all?
What, man?
Does it affect your thinking?
No, man. It's like I'm thinking clearer, man. It's like a sign from God, man.
What's the it here? You see?
Wow.
It's a sign from God. Or did you?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, that shows you. There's another argument that marijuana is absolutely harmless.
Oh, yeah, right. Maybe there's a couple exceptions.
Actually, Roger, who is grabbing the phones at 313-298-WRIF, he says, he made these little messages on our screens. I swear to God, seriously, he sounded legit. He was legit.
Well, I think this is his little fun, and he's talking normal to the phone screener, but he gets on with us and becomes, you know, what was his name?
I think it alters from week to week, but maybe not. Brendan from Southgate. Actually, you know, I wanted to, where is it? Did you get that? I think I just got that earlier about the medical marijuana. They're getting ready to launch.
In Michigan?
Yeah.
I did not see that.
Yeah, and I have it here somewhere, but, let's see, here's my news article I found. Final is North Carolina, Michigan State, part two. I can't read it quick. Did anybody email us about,
No, not yet.
So who's favored? Come on, where are the Sparty fans here?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they're probably hungover still.
Well, listen, we have, and it's too bad that we don't have, we ought to have more audio, because we need Sarah Palin. Remember her? Remember her? I know she's kind of moved into the category of almost forgotten, sort of like Monica Lewinsky and
for
George
now.
Bush. Yeah. But there's a great, she says, guys and gals, and then we could have some little montage. But so she's back at the head of one of the heads of the Republican Party. You know,
Limbaugh and her. Her sister-in-law, who Sarah's husband is Todd, his half-sister, was burglarizing homes. And this is the real kicker of it. She had her child in the car while she was in taking these people's money.
This is
God. And what a bunch of yahoos they are. And the Palins. And also, you know, Bristol had the baby.
Yeah.
And her boyfriend, ex-boyfriend, is now going to be on the Tyra Banks show tomorrow.
Doing what? Let me to tell he's, all?
He's talking about, I think he's talking about teenage sex.
Wow.
Yeah. And he says that he used birth control with Bristol most of the time.
Well, that's good.
Jeez.
You know,
these people.
Yeah, and what's whose sister-in-law was it again?
Sarah Palin's.
And his name is?
It's Todd's sister.
And I'm getting really sick of guys named Todd. it's just a goofy, name, okay? Hi, what's your name? Todd. I'm Todd.
That's yours, Carol. Actually, I like the name Todd.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, single syllable names. What do you call it? What's the nickname? Toddy?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's Todd.
Yeah. I've got, I'm still looking for my medical marijuana thing. But let's take some more calls. 313-298-WRIF. And let's see. Here's Gary. Gary's in Clinton Township. Gary, thanks for calling. You're on WRIF.
We're going to start early. What you just mentioned about Russia, there has been a reversal in their policy in the last 6 years, so we're finally going back to the old ways. But that's not really what I called for. I was talking about was earlier you were talking about the banking.
Yeah.
And the part with the banking, but the government is just as complicit, and that actually started back when Clinton came into office, because of Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, he put his people in there, and they forced the banks to give those kind of loans.
Well, I was saying that that it goes through. Essentially, it's Reaganomics, and it began with Reagan, this deregulation, this giving a wide-open door for any kind of financial shenanigans. And anyone, all they have to do is look back at American history, or history anywhere in the world, and when you don't strictly regulate the people with the money, the little people are going to get screwed. And I just hope this isn't the case this time. I mean, I genuinely believe that Barack Obama would like to solve this problem, but I don't think he's necessarily going about it in the right way. But it's the only way that presents itself that's going to have any traction, I think. Yeah. I mean, unless we alter reality, unless we create the context in which people can start making real reforms that won't allow this situation to occur again.
Well, I think they'd probably do better if they revise things and start getting rid of the lobbyists, too, because they have more influence than the people. I mean, I don't see where either party is representing what the people want.
Well, ultimately, I think you're right. I think when you see the credentials of some of these people, of Geithner and Larry Summers and people like that, you think, aren't these the people that got us into this? So, yeah. So I think that Obama has been dealt a hand that's not adequate and sufficient to deal with the problem as it's structured. So something that's got to be really, I hate to use a cliche, but it's really got to be thinking and acting outside of the box. And right now, the Obama administration plans are inside the box, and that's what got us into it in the first place. So I do agree, and I thank you for your comments. Let's see, 313-298-WRIF. Let's see, here's Fish on the road. Fish, hi, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, Peter, how are you doing?
Good, good, good.
Hey, I was wondering if you've seen the show a couple weeks ago. There was 60 Minutes of 2020 on the marijuana shops in California.
No.
Yeah, they were going in there and they were showing they had like a regular baked goods. They had like cupcakes and brownies and stuff. And then they had a table set up with baggies with all different stuff. Well, towards the end of the show, all of a sudden they turned to the door and a guy walks in and goes, "Man, it smells really good in here." And it was Drew Carey. Was going in there to do shopping.
Well, but this is what? This is only supposed to be medical, right?
Yeah, supposedly, though, I guess it's pretty easy. Maybe he has a medical problem. He was on, had a cane on the show a couple weeks ago, so he's got the gout or something. I don't know.
Well, I think, I think many people involved in the medical marijuana movement are mostly interested in it for personal use, but I think this is the manner in which that it can get legitimized. So I think in some ways the critics of it are correct. On the other hand, I like to go for it on purely a libertarian and civil liberties issue, that the government does not have the right to ban what I do with my body, whether I eat foods that are too fatty or you're going to be... I mean, and there are, people over eating the wrong food has social consequences because that winds up in more illness, heart, illness and what have you. Whereas marijuana, there's not much to show other than Brandon, the guy that talked first, from the bad effects from marijuana. So people have the right to enjoy themselves in a manner that does not impact on society. In other words, people don't have the right to smoke marijuana and drive cars. They certainly don't have the right to smoke marijuana and fly the airplane I'm in or something like that. But to say, hey, man, people want to get high. On the other hand, people that have a terminal cancer or are undergoing chemotherapy or have glaucoma or high blood pressure, I mean, what the hell is the government in any manner doing to tell people that they don't have the right to do that? It's just, like I say, I've said a million times before, it's part of the prison industrial complex. Marijuana prohibition is one of the ways that this complex, the prison industrial complex, gets customers for its racket. It fills, it fills the jails, it fills the prisons, it necessitates more police than would be necessary, or police that are, instead of doing what they would like to do, stops people from smoking flowers.
Right.
And altering their consciousness. Ooh, that's bad. Fish, thanks a lot. Thanks for having joined us. I cannot find this article here on my console. All right. Let's see. We'll go just by time, no particular order. Here's Laurie in Wyandotte. Laurie, thanks for calling 313-298-WRIF. You're on the air.
Hi. How you doing?
We're well.
Hey, I'm calling about the medical marijuana issue. I'm in my late 40s, and I've had epilepsy since I was a kid. And after years of taking, medication for that, I'm finding out I'm having arthritis because of the medication.
Oh.
To keep my seizures,
Yeah.
Steady. And, I've had daily headaches for, my whole life.
That's true.
Which is something that I really don't want to take any more drugs for, because I've been taking so many drugs. And I have to tell you, when I do smoke a joint, it does take the pain away. My headache goes away, and it's hopefully organic from wherever I'm getting it, but...
Well, yeah, and who would
deny... If I can get it... where it's regulated, and I know it's organic, and all of that, it would be all the much better.
Yeah, I mean, who would deny you that? I mean, that's what I mean, to have an entire police and prison apparatus to stop Lori from getting rid of her headaches, or your next-door neighbor just from enjoying himself more, listening to music or something like that. What in the world do we have, this massive repressive apparatus that we're all paying for, making criminals of our neighbors, our family? It's absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely.
Well, I don't advocate people using it just to enjoy their music.
Why not?
But medically? Why not?
Why not, Laurie? Yeah.
Because that's not a medical necessity.
Well, no, I know.
I think that it really, for a lot of people, is like Prozac. So I kind of believe that. I think it...
Well, that's the other thing.
A lot of people.
All the people that I know in official positions, and I usually, when we talk about this, run out this string of people that I've known, everybody from cops to judges to prosecutors to
nurses to
nurses,
doctors.
And nurses and doctors and lawyers and knowing lawyers.
Radio people.
Radio. Yeah. I don't know. I've never met one of those before. Man, but, that goes back to, remember that joke I always do, war on drugs? I can't even drive on drugs. I certainly couldn't broadcast. Could you imagine me trying to bring stuff out of my brain high on the air?
No way.
I would go. And furthermore, if...
where was I?
Well, Laura, yeah, whatever. I'd say whatever it's useful for. I don't think government has the right to do it to you. What do you think? Well, I'm so... I cannot...
What are you looking for, Peter?
I'm looking for this article about medical marijuana.
Oh, yeah. I did not see it.
I didn't send it to you.
What was it in?
I think it's in the Detroit Free Press, like freep.com.
From yesterday. Today?
Yeah.
How did I miss that?
I don't know.
Read the whole thing.
Yeah. All right. Moving onward. Here is... is it Rollin in Monroe?
Yes, sir.
Okay, go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay, I was wanting to know, the way the taxes and everything are set up now, how corporations and everybody gets the big breaks. What it would be like if, say, everybody, corporations, the rich, the poor, everybody, just got like a flat 10% tax.
Well,
non-refundable, I mean, just...
Yeah, I mean, no deductions.
No deductions, nothing, just a flat 10%.
I'll tell you, the people that have been the biggest advocates of that, and that'll give you an idea of who it would benefit, have generally been the wealthy and right-wing conservatives. Now, it sounds pretty good. I mean, that would mean, and I don't know, I'm not 100, I'd have to see all the numbers on it. Because if my taxes and your taxes were reduced to 10%, we'd be making out pretty well, right?
Right.
Yeah, so on the face of it, it's okay. Usually what people have thought of as being fair economically, but also concerned politically, is to have a, what they call, you know, a graduated tax, a progressive tax. So the more money you make, supposedly, this isn't happening anymore, that the more you pay. Because when you start having, and that's what I was talking about earlier in the show, when you start having people that have massive wealth, and when you have corporations that consolidate more and more and become these essentially monopolies, they begin to control with their wealth the political process. So maybe you and I, instead of paying, I don't know what the hell, you know, $10,000 in a year, wind up paying $5,000. We go, hey, this is very cool. And you could say, well, you got $5,000 more of expendable income, and that would help the economy. But on the other hand, if you have this reduction by, among the wealthy for this great amount that they would experience, I'm not sure. So the point being, this stuff, Roland, is very, very complicated to the point where I would have to say, honestly, as I always would, that the ramifications of it aren't entirely clear. Generally, it's thought of as something that would benefit the rich, but you might say, well, I don't care if it benefits them, if it benefits me, what the hell? And the whole thing about the distortion of democracy because of impacted wealth, I don't know, that's more abstract to people. What we're interested in would be to, I mean, if everybody, could cut their taxes by, say, 50% on average, we'd all be very happy. But let me run this by. This is the Peter Werbe tax plan, is that there's a $50,000 tax deductible right off the bat. In other words, if you make $65,000, you pay tax on $15,000. If you make $40,000 a year, you pay no tax whatsoever, which is a whole lot better than 10%. And then you start having greatly graduated tax on the wealthy, to the point where, and I will get to this in a second, where that you don't allow this these massive fortunes to accumulate. So that's better. Zero is better than 10% for most of us, right?
Well, right. But like I'm saying, like most of the Fortune 500 companies in the United States don't pay any taxes at all because of all the different little loopholes and stuff that they slip through.
I don't know. I mean, again, I don't have this in front of me. That, you know, these big, rich talk show hosts, they've got four producers and, you know, looking this all up immediately.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't think that there are corporations that don't pay any tax, but I don't think... I don't think there's. I don't even know what to say. In fact, maybe everybody listening can be our co-producers, and you can look up and what.
I'm all about that.
What percentage? Yeah. What percentage of corporations pay? What percentage of their tax schedule? In other words, if they're supposed to pay a third, how many of them pay 20% or 10% or zero. But I appreciate you bringing that up, and, you know, we can look into that. But that does bring up something, and oh, I got to warn Jolene. This is it's Eat the Rich time, so you know,
okay,
here
good.
Comes Coca.
Thanks for telling me.
Out of the palace, into the ditch. Well, we're not even talking about that. Eat the Rich, that's Crocus, our theme song when we talk about this. These Richies are just have fortunes beyond imagination, this upper 1%. Now, the tools, I'm sorry if I'm insulting anybody that believes this, but the tools of the wealthy, ordinary working people and middle-class people that say, well, is there money? I mean, that's ridiculous. It's totally pathological. It's not even pathological greed. I mean, greedy is when there's not enough to go around and you're going to take, more than your share. And although they do. They certainly do. But I don't even think that's what motivates them. It's not, and because they can't do anything with the fortunes that they accumulate. And here's some of them. I'm not sure how to pronounce the last name. The CEO of Motorola, Sanjay K. Jha, was paid almost entirely in stock and option grants. He earned $104 million in total compensation when he was hired away from this other company last August.
Oh, my gosh.
Any living human being, if they were given 10% of that for their entire lives, they would, they could live like kings and queens.
Have a good life.
Yeah. Well, let me see. Roger, can you... okay, wait a minute. According to the article, 2 out of 3 corporations pay taxes from 1998. Well, you know, we're going to go to a break in a minute. If you get it, why don't you just print it out, Roger, and we'll go to that after the break. Following him on the list were Lawrence J. Ellison of Oracle. He made $84 million. Robert A. Iger of Walt Disney, $51 million. Kenneth Chenault of American Express, $43 million. Vikram Pandit of Citigroup. Aren't they getting all our money? Yeah, they're being bailed out. $38 million. No wonder they're being bailed out. Next were Mark Hurd of Hewlett-Packard, $34 million, on and on and on like that. Rupert Murdoch, who owns Fox News and the Wall Street Journal and all that, he makes a mere $30 million a year. I mean, this guy's...
Jeez.
Like, Warren Buffett from Berkshire Hathaway, he only made $40
million. Aw, wow. The poor baby.
Did you just hear a weird noise?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My phone.
Oh, my God. She's not yawning. Hedge fund. Should we get these? I don't think this will go again. No. I was going to do Eat the Rich.
Oh.
But financial crisis may have turned much of Wall Street wealth into dross. But a select group of hedge fund managers has managed to maintain a golden touch that makes King Midas blush. The top 25 managers of these hedge funds, and I'm willing to bet that probably 95% of the audience doesn't even know what a hedge fund is.
Yeah.
And I'm probably in it.
And
but I'm not even going to try.
And you're
to
looking at someone else.
Yeah. So what does this mean that there are portions of our economy that the average person does not take part in? The vast, overwhelming majority of people do not take. Well, you may take. Actually, you may take part in it without realizing it through your 401k. But that doesn't control it. You have to quote hope that these guys don't screw everything up, which they've been doing fairly regularly, of course, although rewarding themselves richly at the same time. And also that it benefits them greatly to the extent that some of these, did I say the total figure here? The top 25 managers reap a total of $11.6 billion, that's a B, by trading above the pain in the markets. Well, see, that's what we got to get rid of. We got to get rid of the speculative capital. We got to get rid of a stock market that does anything more than capitalize enterprises. If not, you know, this will just be more and more of the same. All right. Moving onward.
Yes.
Eat the rich. That's what I say. Here is James in White Lake. James, hi. It's Peter and Jolene. Thanks for joining us on WRIF.
How are you?
Good.
Okay, I was just calling in about the medical marijuana.
Sure.
I know I'm a little bit late. You guys moved down to Texas.
No, go ahead.
No, that's okay. We always go back. We revisit.
Sure.
Well, anyway, I guess what I was going to say is that I really think it should be, you know, I'm really pro-choice when it comes to the matter. But I noticed you said earlier that you don't think it's really wrong for somebody to do it and, you know, listen to music or just relax or something like that.
Right.
And I just wanted to say, you know, I think it's kind of funny that, you know, because it's not like alcohol isn't a drug. And I know that some of these judge and police officers who put people in jail for smoking marijuana go home and get, you know, twice as drunk on alcohol then, you know, somebody might get off the marijuana. And I'm not trying to offend anybody, but all I'm saying is what's the difference?
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's pretty easy to understand. I knew someone, this is real secondhand, who had a relative who was responsible in a state, which I won't even mention because I don't want to get too close to that, it was assistant prosecutor. His prosecutorial duties was to prosecute big cocaine cases.
Oh.
And his nose was on the mirror, the prosecutor.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So here he's getting people, I mean, a guy I know, which I mean, was quite a surprise to us all, got 22 years in prison for delivering marijuana.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was pot?
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
cocaine.
I thought it was a cocaine.
Cocaine.
Okay.
Conspiracy to deliver controlled substances. And actually, yeah, well, maybe I was going to say a couple things, but it might be more personal. Well, he's getting off a little early. He's going to get out after 20 and a half years.
My.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Forgetting cocaine to lawyers, you know. This isn't kids. You know, this is not hanging out in the neighborhood candy store and getting
right.
cocaine. This is.
He's not selling it from your dorm room.
Yeah. This is all.
Well, I guess what I wanted to ask you is, do you think that, you know, the government could make money off of, you know, completely legalizing it rather than just medical marijuana? Because I honestly think more people than are willing to admit do smoke it on a regular basis. And I think there's a misconception because when you first smoke it, I believe that maybe you get more, I hate to use the word, but maybe you get higher than you really would if you were a regular user because you're not used to the effects. And I think maybe that gives people a misconception that it just like is like crack or something. You see what I'm saying?
Well, I'll tell you, there's a friend of ours that's that's got a PhD in nursing, and her specialty is drug abuse, and actually big field is prescription drugs, the misuse of that, the abuse of that. The vast majority of drug users, whether it's marijuana or heroin or crack or cocaine, aren't abusers in the sense that they don't do it so it what could you say, so it hurts their body or hurts their lives or hurts the community. I mean, just like the majority of people that drink alcohol do not do it in a manner that hurts themselves or their family or their community. But there's a percentage of alcohol users that we know that do.
Yeah.
But we've made the social decision that we're going to allow people who are vastly outnumbered, you know,
gather in public and get wasted, yesterday at the Final Four.
Yeah, tens of millions of people that imbibe that intoxicant, whereas the much, much lower millions. Oh, the thing, and none of all of those drugs they have a low addiction rate.
Sorry.
I'm so glad. We're never getting a television camera.
No.
Peter Werby, Jolene Jordan, 313-298-WRIF. Jolene's going to take a nap, and then she'll be right back for the second half of the show.
This is Night Call on 101 WRIF. Peter will be right back with more of your calls right after this. The future is here.
We do not need to be afraid anymore.
For more iPhone 3G, download the free WRIF app in the iTunes Store. It gives you one-touch access to WRIF streaming live wherever you are. Get more details at WRIF.com.
The Riff.
I love my dog so much that I bought her own queen-size bed.
I love my dog so much that I let him pick the channels when we watch TV.
I love my dog so much that she gets the couch and I sit on the floor.
Yeah, well, I love my dog so much that when he chewed up my new shoes, I went and bought another pair just for him.
I love my dog so much that I send her to All American Pet Resorts.
Well, yeah, that just goes without saying.
Yeah, it kind of does, doesn't it?
All American Pet Resorts, with locations in St. Clair Shores, Royal Oak, and Roseville, are like the finest hotels. Your dog will love the expansive indoor and outdoor playgrounds. Plus, every pet gets their own suite. The resort is completely cageless and has 24/7 service, activities, and deluxe bedding. Check into All American Pet Resorts next time you vacation, need doggy daycare, or grooming. In St. Clair Shores, Royal Oak, and Roseville, go to allamericanpetresorts.com for a location near you. That's allamericanpetresorts.com.
I love my dog so much that I repainted my house his favorite color.
I love my dog so much that I let him use the paper before I read it.
Your vote will be tallied. No matter who wins, it's going to be one hell of a party. Wednesday, May 13th, WRIF presents the 2009 Rip Rocko Finals live from the Fillmore Detroit. Throwing it out with a bunch of cherry. Live. Plus, Saturday night, with Bob Evil and Royal Blitz. We'll review your fabulous four finalists. Then, watch history in the making as one lucky woman is crowned the 2009 Rip Rock Girl. Tickets for the 2009 Rip Rock Girl Finals available now and exclusively from LiveNation.com. Wednesday, May 13th, the 2009 Rip Rock Girl Finals from 101 WRIF.
101.1 WRIF and WRIF HD1 Detroit. We're back with more Night Call on 101 WRIF Detroit. Here's Peter Werby.
All right, thank you very much. Angeline Jordan is with us and awake.
I am.
That's good.
I am.
At the end of this second hour, 1 a.m. Eastern time, I'm going to be playing two repeat shows. I was actually out of town all this week and didn't get a chance to do any new interviews, but I liked both these. What was the name of the book? I just have the CDs here in front of me. It was called Shoot an Iraqi, and it was this performance artist, Wafa Bilal, who immigrated to the United States, and he set himself up in a room. I mean, he'd been here since like 1993. But last year, the year before, he set himself up in a room with a paintball gun that could be controlled by the internet. That if you dialed into this...
Really?
Yeah, if you dialed into this website, you could shoot him with a paintball.
Wow.
And he got 3 million hits, on the website.
Yeah.
And 60,000 people shot him.
I don't get it.
Okay.
But why would they want to do that?
Because they can. And they liked doing it. And then he was in this room for a month solid. That was where I don't think he went to the bathroom or anything like that, but yeah.
Wow.
And also, during the 1930s, there was something called the Works Progress Administration that paid artists to produce art. I mean, they were out of work, and theater groups as well. And there was a theater project called, I couldn't get high and do this job. I can't think of enough of what I want to. What was it? It was the Federal Theater Project, what the name of it was. And there was a movie about this called The Cradle Will Rock. You ever see that? That's a terrific movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called The Cradle Will Rock. In fact, the author saw the movie and then decided, went out and wrote this book about the whole Federal Theater Project. And it's about these people want to perform this play called The Cradle Will Rock, and they're forbidden to do it. And there's this big communist investigation because they say they're communists. Some of them were at the time. A lot of people were communists during the 1930s. And I remember when I watched the movie, I thought they had these Southern senators or people from these congressmen. Turn off your mic when you're going to yawn. Everybody's going to think I'm
boring.
Could
you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. That you got an on and off switch.
I do.
Yeah, right. All right. Anyway, so they had in the movie, they have these congressmen investigating the Federal Theater Project for communist infiltration, and some of the remarks that were made were so stupid. I thought at the time, I get that these are bad guys. You don't got to put preposterously stupid remarks, in their mouths in the film. So then I read the book, and it turned out these were actual quotes by these segregationist congressmen who rose to the top of the seniority system in the Democratic Party because they were in there for so long because they didn't have any opposition and black people couldn't vote.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, we got a letter from, or an email from Dave in Washington. He's listening. He said, weed all the time, almost any time.
this Washington
Thanks
state?
Thanks for
or?
Listening, state. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Any more emails? I thought you had
yeah,
a couple.
Yeah, well, this computer is so slow, Peter.
Oh, let's thank Roger from, what did I do with this? Roger gave us the information that we were looking for. Man. Anyway, it's not in front of me.
Okay,
but,
well, I was going to tell you Ryan wrote in and was talking about how he discovered that 70% of the corporations pay no taxes.
It's about it. And also, thank you, Roger, for bringing this. Two out of every three United States corporations paid no federal income taxes from 1998 through 2005. And this is according to the Government Accountability Office. So, this, let me see, among foreign corporations, a slightly higher percentage, 68%, did not pay taxes during the period covered. And the study covers 1.3 million corporations of all sizes, most of them small, with a collective $2.5 trillion in sales. Well, remember, Roland suggested a 10% flat tax on everyone. Well, and I said, how about a zero tax on everybody up to $50,000 and then put a minimum of $10,000 on these corporations? Well, 10% of $2.5 trillion. Hmm. If you want to see what $1 trillion looks like, go to my website, Peter Werbe, WERBE.com, PeterWerbe.com. And like you think, a billion is a lot of money, and it shows it sort of in physical terms how much.
Oh, cool.
It is. So, yeah, so we don't need to pay 10% of our taxes. We don't have to pay 20 or 5 or 2. We need to pay nothing. The people that need to pay the taxes are like this guy from Motorola that's making $104 million, and these tax. These corporations that are paying no tax. That would take care of it all, and let's have most of these taxes go to things we need. All right, we got completely open lines, and if you'd like to make a call, 313-298-WRIF.
313-298-9743.
And here's Jeff from Detroit. Jeff, hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Pete. Hey, Jalene. How you doing?
Hey, great.
Hey, I was calling about the ridiculousness of the ultra-rich. You see where the late TV producer Aaron Spelling is selling, his wife is selling their home. It's the most expensive home in America at $150 million.
Wow.
Dollars, and I think it's something like 56,000 square feet.
That's like a Costco store or something.
Yeah, that's nice. What I was thinking. That's 28,000 square foot homes.
That's amazing. I mean, so that's bigger and more expensive than Bill Gates' home?
Yeah, it's the most expensive home in America.
Wow. Could he have made that much money?
I guess so. But I'm just saying, why would you even have a house that big? You get lost in your own house.
Yeah, I bet they did a lot of roller skating.
You know, I mean, you basically need a cart to get from one side to the other.
Yeah.
What about those little... What are those called?
Oh, remember that one wheel thing, the thing that Bush fell over on?
Fell over, yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I remember watching one of them programs, and they were talking about something, and they gave the footage of this one mansion wine cellar, and the wine cellar was something like 1,200 square feet. For just the wine cellar.
That's my house.
That's what I was thinking.
You wish it was 1,200 square feet.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Sorry. No, I don't. I mean, it's just pathology. It is, who's going to have the biggest house? You know,
here's my theory of where I think the greed comes from. It's always that I'm going to do one better than you. So if you start off with a 10,000 square foot, I got to have a 20, and so on. So people start building these ridiculously big houses.
Yeah, I know. I know. I mean, and it happened too with the tall buildings. Every country and city wants to have the
tallest
building.
But what is it? Dubai? Weren't they trying to?
I'll tell you. Everybody is going home. I just talked to somebody who came from Dubai, and in fact, a relative of mine's grandson works in Dubai.
Really?
And he says you go out to the airport, and there's thousands of abandoned cars because these people drove their cars to the airport and went home because they have tens of thousands of guest workers. They're doing things like building the world's tallest building, and I don't even know if the work on it is still going.
Really?
That's pretty amazing. All right, Jeff, thank you very much for joining us.
All right.
Appreciate it, and thanks for calling 313-298-WRIF. And speaking of Detroit, that reminded me that the police are on the job there. There was a plan to hold a flash mob impromptu pillow fight. You know what a flash mob is?
No.
Really?
No.
You of the many electronic devices?
I have no idea.
Flash mob is where you mobilize all these people via like a cell phone list, or that everybody appears at in a public space. I mean, you could do things like let me see. There was something. It was a song. I can't remember the song, but like 1,000 people showed up with say Merry Christmas. I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas on like their phone or on a little recorder, and then everybody played it at once. I mean, it's just kind of goofy stuff.
I just don't get it.
Okay. In England, they actually use it for political protests.
Oh, that's cool.
They have flash mob things, and so they, you know, everybody appear at a particular subway stop and do something, and then poof, they're gone.
Nice.
So they had a flash mob. They were supposed to have an impromptu pillow fight down at Campus Martius, which is, I guess you would say, an army camp in Latin. But it's actually sort of a town square where there's a lot of stuff going on. You can ice skate during the winter, and they have
festivals
there and all that. But the cops didn't like it. They confiscated pillows from people who came to the park Saturday for the frivolity, as the Detroit News says here. And they think that they confiscated that 5,000 pillows seized by the planned 4 p.m. start of the event. I mean,
that's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, that many people came. The pillow fight, which was to be one of at least 50 across the world Saturday, organized by people on the social networking websites, was shut down by Detroit police officers who were stationed at the park. 23-year-old Alita Quesada of Ferndale said, "I am furious." She said she fumed while watching officers take pillows as soon as people showed up with them. Cops, I mean, I know there's a lot of police that are listening. I mean, under what authority can a police officer take your pillow?
Stop a pillow fight,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, illegal possession of a pillow. Well, she says, if a pillow fight is so silly and childlike, why did they stop it? It would have to have been fun. It seems like everything that fun is illegal. That goes back to our marijuana discussion. But Detroit police spokesman James Tate would not say how police learned about the event in advance. He said there were numerous internet postings. Well, isn't that what happened?
Yeah, right. Isn't that the whole thing?
Any flash mobbers out there that were at this thing?
I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
Never heard of it.
He said the event. Now, why do you think that they could have stopped it? On what basis? What threat to public health or safety was there?
I have no idea.
Well, I didn't either. I thought it was, you know, solely arbitrary. They didn't control the space, so they didn't like it. The police spokesman said the event posed a cleanup issue because typically there are large amounts of feathers and
that's the only thing I was thinking of.
Yeah, because anyone knows that there. I mean, when's the last time you saw a feather pillow? Do you have a feather pillow?
No.
No, who has a feather pillow anymore?
I don't. I'm allergic.
Yeah, they're all, what do you call it, sponge rubber or whatever.
Yeah, I have one of those Tempur-Pedic types.
Yeah.
That would hurt.
Oh, yeah. Or some of those ones, some people have these ones that are filled, like, with barley.
Oh, yeah.
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 That would hurt.
That would be, and it would be a mess.
They didn't say that, though. But also the police were concerned that people getting hit who did not wish to participate.
Oh, well, you would kind of maybe walk across the street.
Yeah. You see people flailing at each other with pillows. You say, I'm going to walk right through there. You better not. Yeah.
That'll feel good.
Michael Davis of Hamtramck said, they took my pillows, but they let me keep my cases. They told me I needed a permit. He said, I can understand.
Oh, it's a permit issue.
Yeah, because, you know.
Well, they do that with the political stuff all the time.
You can't have a pillow fight without a permit. Many people who participate in such events call themselves members of the urban playground movement.
Cool.
Yeah, and speaking of Ferndale, a similar event was held October 26th in which people went to Ferndale right around Nine Mile and Woodward, the center of things, dressed as zombies and imitated zombies while walking around.
I saw that.
Really?
Yeah, I saw some zombies. I did. Walking across the street.
On the other hand, Today, as many as four 4,000 young people are expected to dribble from Comerica Park to Cobo Center today. This is part of the Final Four, right? So the Final Four dribble. And they close all these streets to accommodate that.
Well, they probably got their permits and did it all right.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about marijuana here in Michigan, medical marijuana.
Yeah.
And it appears the first IDs have been issued as of yesterday.
Cool.
And let's see, it said something about they've gotten 120 requests of people who want the card or information about getting a doctor's letter for that. And apparently you can have 12 or fewer plants.
Oh, you can grow it.
Apparently.
So they're not going to have stores? You got to grow it yourself?
Well, I really, it looks like that here, but I mean, that's all I see on this article. And one lady said she's never grown a plant in her life. See, this could be a problem for people who have chronic conditions and not a green thumb.
But you know what happens? You grow this, as the kids say, bomb reefer. And then it grows, and then, you know, all these seeds is just dripping rosin, and you're just anticipating how it's going to alleviate your glaucoma or whatever your reasons are for growing it. And you go out in the morning to harvest it, and someone's beat you to it.
Oh,
that happens.
Outside?
Yeah, I mean, somebody stole your plants.
Wouldn't you grow it inside with lights?
A lot of people do.
I don't know.
So
I'm just
heard.
Saying.
All right. 313-298-WRIF. Here's Dave calling all the way from San Francisco. Dave, hi. It's Peter and Jolene. Thanks for joining us from your fair city.
Hey, greetings, Peter and Jolene.
Dave used to call us on the old syndicated show years ago, right, Dave?
Sure did. IE America, yeah.
That's right.
Fabulous. Hi.
Long, long time ago.
Sure.
Hey, you know, it's funny. I heard you talking about this flash mobs thing. The you certainly remember the Yellow Submarine movie.
Yeah.
And you remember they had the Blue Meanies.
They
and
did.
Every time anybody wanted to have some fun, there were Blue Meanies to crush it out. So that was the first thing that flashed to my mind when I heard that about the flash mobs. And those are actually, they've been around for a little while. They are somewhat tied to activism, but yeah, there are all sorts of different, you know, people will meet at the beach or something like that, real impromptu sorts of things. And it was, I'm kind of surprised Twitter never really turned into it, although there is some aspect of it.
It may, right? It may yet.
As we speak, well, who knows what's going on. This stuff sure just spreads quickly.
Yeah.
And, you know, the one thing I was thinking about with this, how did the cops find out about it? Were they monitoring the flash mob? And in other words, were they monitoring everybody's internet traffic?
Maybe they watched people just kind of arriving.
Yeah,
you know, they're down there driving around.
Or they could have, I don't know. I just wonder if, let me see. Oh, I was looking on the screen here to see whether there's any flash mob people joining us, but I said, oh, there's one of them, but then it's you. And I take it you're not part of a flash mob out there in San Francisco, Dave.
Well, by telephone, if we had view phones, you know, I could flash you, but I'm not a mob, so what can you do?
Well, you know, there used to be, back in the day, there used to be what they called phone trees, so that they set this up so that I was responsible for calling five people to get them to, say, come to a demonstration, and then of those five people would have five people to call. But there'd always be somebody that would screw up and not make their call, right?
Sure.
Stop the chain.
One other thing. You know, I heard you talking about the hemp there a few minutes ago. I don't know if you're... I read some monographs. I had a girlfriend who was a custodian at a library, and I was able to read the PhD monographs as they would come in. This was a university library. One of them I read...
Dave, you must have a lot of time on your hands.
Well, I had a lot of girlfriends, too. but one of the things was... there was a great monograph on hemp, the hemp economy up to about 1925 or 30, and it apparently from 1776 to 1930 or so, about 30% of the American economy was tied to hemp. 30%. And when they outlawed hemp, they essentially created the the Great Depression. I mean, there was a lot of scandal that caused the Great Depression in 1929, but outlawing one-third of the economy was massive.
Well, that's a theory. There's also that the War of 1812 was about hemp production, because hemp production was a staple in global trade and not for smoking. I mean, people used to say, yeah, George Washington grew hope hemp, so he was a stoner and all that. There's a book, I think it's called The Emperor's New Clothes by Jack Herer, H-E-R-E-R. And a lot of that stuff is put out there. Very interesting book, man, I interviewed quite a few years ago. Dave, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Dave.
We're bad. We're nationwide.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much. 313-298-WRIF. And let's see. Here is Patrick in Plymouth. Hey, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi, Patrick. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. How you doing?
Good.
Good. You know, you were talking about the medical mission. The
marijuana.
That's easy for you to say.
Medical marijuana.
Yeah.
Well, you, what you do is you get the card, and what they do is they set you up with a caregiver.
Yeah.
And what that person does is either he or she shows you how to grow it, or they grow it for you.
I love it.
Wow.
I want him to grow it for me and deliver it to me.
And now, like, if I was a caregiver and you were a patient,
yeah.
And if you wanted me to grow it for you, I could. But the only thing is I would have to have your name, your address, and if I was driving with it, and if I was pulled over,
yeah.
I would have to have it legally. I would have to have it on me, and your name, your address, how much I have, you know, and what kind of condition you have. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know how the hell they're going to police it. I mean, it seems like a nightmare. I mean, you know, I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see. Yeah.
I mean, because it's been available in other states. All right. Thank you very much for that. You know what? Let me think. Maybe go to. Oh, I don't even want to give. I don't want to give any publicity to this particular website. But
okay.
I'm going to tell you to look for it. Here is Craig. Craig's in Sterling Heights. Hi, Craig. It's Peter and Jolene. You're on the air.
How you doing?
Good.
Actually, a couple of points of interest, but one is some conflicting viewpoints. One, I've heard continuously throughout the night medical marijuana, and I seem to find a gap in the conversation that this isn't legalization of marijuana usage. This is legalization of marijuana usage for simply the purposes of medical relief.
Right.
It seems as every high on the planet needs medical marijuana. This isn't a recreational usage legalization. This
right.
is individual cancer patients, individuals who could substantiate a significant need. If I had any contention with the discussion that's taking place is there's no substantiation for any of the more conservative viewpoints, and not just in this particular issue, but several others.
No, I would say none.
And I don't know if that's purposeful or if it's just overt. I'm kind of curious as to what your response to that would be.
Well, Craig, wouldn't you think that conservatives would be so behind getting the government out of personal choices, ones that do not have direct effect, that are what the libertarians call victimless crimes? Now, one's choices and one's acts can have consequences beyond what the appearances. In other words, what I was saying earlier, if I continually eat, you know, like a high-fat, high-caloric diet, I could wind up taxing the medical system a lot more than I would if I was eating healthy and, you know, exercised and what have you. So, on one hand, it's kind of my business if I want to eat sliders and,
fast food
and, you know, 7 or 21 meat meals a week. No one's going to say to me, hey, look, you're going to cost people money and you're going to strain the medical system because of your diet. No one wants to come in my house and regulate what my diet is going to be, but they want to regulate what I'm going to put in my lungs.
The propositions for individuals who have an unhealthy lifestyle to the insurance industry have been posed on a number of occasions. They certainly met with very dire consequences, and they have not gone very farther than propositions, but that has been done. And the problem with that lies in, you know, I can't say that I'm for the legalization of narcotics, and marijuana, of course, is the most passive of all the, you know, the cocaines and heroines and whatnot. But, you know, the decriminalization of some of them is probably something that needs some interest and should be pursued.
Well, you know, it's kind of fashionable to say, you know, marijuana is harmless. Nobody dies from heroin. There's hundreds of thousands of people that die from essentially from alcohol poisoning, addiction to it. Cigarettes, which are legal, is this massive killer of hundreds of thousands of people a year. And yet they're legal. I mean, that's sort of the standard argument. And I think a decent one. But people say, but I don't support the hard drugs. Well, I think it's a bad idea to use any substance to any degree that that hurts you, the body, or, you know, diminishes your value as a person within the community, within the family, and whatever. But some people can't control it. They can't control their alcoholism. They can't control their addiction to cigarettes. They can't control their addiction to drugs. And how many of us don't know someone like that? Someone very frequently we love. And people that have tried and still retain that addictive personality. But in order to stop somebody from using crack cocaine, if we have to dedicate hundreds of billions of dollars, which turns out actually probably to be somewhere near a trillion, the so-called war on drugs, which could have been a national health program, so none of us would have had to have any of this discussion about you know, whether we have the money for it. I mean, all this money that was used in the attempt to stop people from hurting themselves, from the idea that something like heroin, like crack, other stuff like that, is going to do damage to people to the extent that the state has to intervene with an apparatus that that utilizes hundreds of billions of dollars, puts people in jail that want to do it. I mean, that is absolute insanity. And more people have been harmed by the attempt to stop people from doing what they want because, as all of us have noticed, there are some people that do crack cocaine and heroin and the rest of it. And we start following it all back to the damage it does to the communities in which agriculture is dominated by poppy production or coca production, and the corruption and the violence that goes in those countries, whether it's in Thailand or Mexico and Colombia, Peru, places like that. It has been a devastatingly horrid, essentially, alcohol prohibition writ large. In other words, that when we think of the Roaring Twenties and how crazy it was to try to suppress alcohol sales, that that was nothing. That was like a blip compared to the damage that the social damage that the laws against drugs have created since they were put into being, you know, now 70, 80 years ago. All right, but thank you, Craig, for bringing that all up. Appreciate it. 313-298-WRIF. And let's see, here's Jason in Royal Oak. Jason, hi. It's Peter and Jillian. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good.
Yeah, I just called a comment on it. I read the recent articles in the news about the guy that got popped in Madison Heights, 21 plants, he's only supposed to have 12.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
It was in the news. It was a newspaper. It was a Free Press.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. So he had too many plants. I mean, that's what I mean. That's crazy.
No, they switched the numbers. Is that what you said?
No. He just had more plants than he was supposed to.
Oh.
I understand that if you're going to grow medical marijuana, you're supposed to have 12 plants.
Yeah.
Right.
This guy had 21. And they raided his house. The police raided his house, and they did not know what to do.
They didn't know what to
charge him with. I mean, what do you charge somebody who's legally allowed to grow marijuana and outside of the fact that he has more plants than he's supposed to have, it was all right.
Yeah. Well, think about this. I know friends that live in Madison Heights. I have friends that live there. And I suspect if there's any Madison Heights police officers listening, I mean, probably they would like to have a community in which their presence is a deterrent to any crime that is really harmful to the community. And if they have to be operational busting people for growing plants is probably not one of their great desires. And so it's a tremendous waste of an utilization of time, of money, of and our taxes just go. I mean, these prisons, they've been knocking down all these sentencing guidelines because they've been so costly to the states. But good point. I think thank you for bringing it up. All right, we're going to take a break. 313-298-WRI.
313-298-9743. There's a couple open lines.
And we'll be right back.
This is Night Call on 101 WRIF. Peter will be right back with more of your calls right after this.
Did I win? Netflix. I won?
Thursday.
Dude, are you serious?
All day this Thursday, exclusively from your walk right in free station. 101.
Who are you?
WRIF.
I love you!
If you want to own a new computer but think you can't get credit, listen to this. Now you're approved for a brand new Dell, HP, or other name brand computer for just $29.99 a week. There's no credit check, no hassles, and you won't be turned down. Just call Tronics Country at 1-800-990-2258. If you have a bank account and can afford weekly payments of just $29.99 for 12 months, you're approved for a new computer guaranteed. Even if you have bad credit or no credit, you will not be turned down. And with Tronics Country's program, you can help improve your credit rating. Call Tronics Country now for a brand new name brand computer or wireless laptop. Call right now, and with your paid purchase, you'll also get a free 20-inch LCD TV and a free color printer. Call Tronics Country right now at 1-800-990-2258. 1-800-990-2258. That's 1-800-990-2258.
I looked at her and I was just wow. She looked so young.
I told her I couldn't believe how smooth her face looks. She's lost, what, 10 years at least?
I look at her and it's like I'm looking at a picture of my wife from 20 years ago. It's incredible.
How are ordinary women across America looking years younger? They've discovered the proven breakthrough called Hydroxytone. It erases wrinkles, tightens skin, and makes frown lines disappear from view. See for yourself by requesting a free trial of Hydroxytone today. The results are so impressive. Hydroxytone was given away in VIP gift bags at international film festivals. Try Hydroxytone risk-free and shed years from your appearance faster than you thought possible.
She always looked good to me, but now I can't believe how young she looks.
Call now for your free trial of Hydroxytone. For a limited time, try it before you buy it. 1-800-503-3580. But hurry, when this offer's gone, it's gone. Call 1-800-503-3580. 1-800-503-3580.
Your votes will be tallied, and no matter who wins, it's going to be one hell of a party. Wednesday, May 13th, WRIF presents the 2009 Rip Rock Girl Finals, live from the Fillmore Detroit, blowing it out with Buddy Cherry, live. Plus, Saturday night, along with Bobby Bull at Royal Blitz, we'll review your fabulous four finalists. Then, watch history in the making as one lucky woman is crowned the 2009 Rip Rock Girl. Tickets for the 2009 Rip Rock Girl Finals available now. Get them exclusively through LiveNation.com. Wednesday, May 13th, the 2009 Rip Rock Girl Finals. From 101, WRIF.
I want to hit the
river!
Yeah.
Peter and Jalene, you're listening to Night Call, the most award-winning talk show on 101 WRIF.
All right, welcome back to our final segment, 313-298-WRIF. I finally found the article I was looking for. And today, Monday, starts the new process for medical marijuana, this whole program. 5 months after voters approved a ballot measure to allow people with debilitating illnesses and diseases to use marijuana, the state Monday begins taking applications for the Michigan Medical Marijuana Program. But I don't know if this says where you make the... No, I don't think it does. It'll take weeks before patients can legally use marijuana. Once state officials receive an application for approval, they have 15 days to review it. If approved, the state will then mail out a picture ID card within 5 days. My college roommate is part of the program in California, and he has this ID, picture ID. I said, what's wrong with you? And he laughed.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's probably not good publicity, is it?
No, Peter, it's not.
No, the Michigan Department of Community Health, which will oversee the program, I guess, is there. The 13th state to legalize medical marijuana. Oh, here's something. Oh, this is in Lansing. Some people are listening. It says, we should be issuing the cards probably by the end of April, says James McCurtis from the department. A rally is scheduled for 10 a.m. Monday in Lansing at the Gone Wired Cafe. Organizers expect as many...
Well, that's a great place. I've been there.
Have you?
Yeah.
They expect 200 people to attend. Buses will then take participants to the state's Ottawa building in downtown Lansing to turn in their paperwork. It must include, a certification form from a Michigan-licensed physician that the patient suffers from a medical problem covered under the new law. The registry card costs $100.
Whoa.
This doesn't seem easy to do, does it?
No.
I'm not even going to go. What do I got? Glaucoma.
No, I don't. Peter.
The doctor will have to vouch that a patient's pain and suffering could be lessened through marijuana use. Conditions include patients with cancer, glaucoma, HIV, AIDS, hepatitis C, and Crohn's disease. Oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. It also covers those with wasting syndrome, severe and chronic pain or nausea, seizures, and persistent muscle spasms. It's unknown how many people will qualify for the program, although those who backed the successful petition drive placing the question before the voters estimated it could be as many as 50,000 people. Brad Forrester, communications director for the Michigan Medical Marijuana Association, who are helping the patients, said some police departments are still resisting the law. Doesn't say how, but he said the judges are on our side. So I don't think it's real easy that people could still, remember there was Lori from Wyandotte said she was thinking about applying for it about an hour ago or so. So I don't know. I bet you, if you're still listening, you're probably thinking, how do I do this?
Right.
Right. But I guess if you're on the internet, if you're not, things are getting difficult these days. You got to look up the Michigan Department of Community Health, and then you got to get this application. And then, what about poor people? They got to come up with $100?
Yeah, that's...
That sucks.
That does suck.
It does. All right, let's go back to our phones and talk to Chris from Milford. Hi, Chris. It's Peter and Jolene on WRIF. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Peter. Jolene, how are you tonight?
Good.
Great. Thank you.
I just have a little comment about the medical marijuana also. My mother has MS, multiple sclerosis.
Right.
According to her doctor, that she qualifies for the medical marijuana. And like you said, I was just listening also... you read in that article, it isn't an easy process. You are allowed to grow up to 12 plants, and according to her doctor, that she can have either a personal friend or a family member who's a friend who has to be, extremely close and has to go with her to apply also.
Yeah.
They have to have, they have to register for it also, and they have to be approved as well. They can grow up to 12 plants. Either the person with the with that type of illness per se, and then also the person, her family member or her friend. They can also grow it for her if she doesn't want to. Now they can also, he or she with the illness can carry up to 2 ounces on them at a time without, but they have to have their
2 ounces
card.
Wow.
This is what I read in the newspaper, and this was, before the presidential election and all the voting took place. And I read that, Detroit Free Press, obviously it was a couple months ago.
Now, this is going to be interesting to see how this all rolls out. Thank you for the information. I appreciate it very much. Now, we're talking a little earlier about a raid in Madison Heights on someone who had too many plants. Here's Josh in Waterford who has some information on that. Hi, Josh. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. I actually met that guy who was arrested in Madison Heights at a Compassion Club meeting, and him and his partner were actually both living at that house and both had their physician's recommendations, and the police still confiscated all of their plants, so they're actually in the legal limit.
So they had, two people had 24 plants.
They had 21. Yep.
Or 21, so they had under the limit.
And they also took their grill equipment as well.
Wow.
Yeah,
Well, I suspect that this organization, which is called, the Michigan Medical Marijuana Association, will be dealing with stuff like that. In fact, they said some police departments are still resisting law. I mean, old habits die hard, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Anybody from the Madison Heights police listening? There's always a lot of police listening to this show, which and they don't call in very much anymore.
No. From time to time.
Yeah.
Sometimes they drive by and flash their light in here.
I talked to a police officer from my shows how long I've been doing this. Said he used to listen to this. Now his son listens to this show.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Here's Kevin. Kevin's on the road. How you doing, Kev?
Not too bad, yourself?
Good.
Yeah, I'm a little bit off topic. You know, I kind of grew up around this stuff. My parents did it their whole life.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, the medical marijuana is, kind of like the baby steps in the right direction, like legalizing it. I don't smoke it myself, but I just look at the potential of how much money the government can make off of it and use it to help with the stimulus plan.
Well, some people have said that legalizing it would be this incredible boost to the economy. But in other words, I'm sorry, I don't mean to say in other words. It actually is part of the economy because even all illegal activity is also part of the economy. So you have this multi-billion-dollar industry of growth and processing and sales and a little bit of paraphernalia that goes along with it. That's all part of the economy. It's called the black economy in the sense that it's off the books and illegal. But, the capital is circulating. People are pulling dollars out of their pocket for, you know, hydroponics and for and people work at it. It creates income. In some places, like they suspect in California, that marijuana is the largest or the most, how would you say it, the highest revenue producing agricultural crop in the state.
Right.
So
I'm just saying that, you know, the government can make money off of it, just to help with taxes or whatever. I mean, they're already here in Michigan, and since they bumped up the cigarette tax, and people still smoke that.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I think, though, that if you want to smoke, and they say they made cigarettes illegal, we'd be hard-pressed to produce our own cigarettes to smoke, right? You got to, that's quite a process of curing it all. But marijuana, people would probably, I don't know, maybe if you could buy it at the drugstore, people would just go down and buy it rather than bothering to grow it themselves. But, you know, people have home gardens.
Like easier.
Yeah, you can buy corn at the supermarket or
right.
Grow it in your backyard. All right, thank you very much. I do appreciate it. Thanks for that. Madison Heights, let's hear from you, okay? Here is Joe's in Disgusted Township. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Sticking with tonight's topic, I have a feeling the hash bash might have had something to do with tonight's, everybody talking about the medical marijuana.
You know, unfortunately, it didn't. I forgot all about that. That was
it was yesterday, wasn't it?
No,
it was yesterday.
Or so Saturday, that, yeah.
Yeah, I was there, and the feeling I get right now is that the medical marijuana thing is kind of a false hope for those that are looking to really legalize it. Just for, you know, for everyone, for it just to be legal, to grow it. Would I need a doctor's note, you know, say after prohibition to, you know, get a beer somewhere? I mean,
right.
Just to grow it. I have a brother-in-law that homebrews. Does he have to have a note on him when he brings me over a six-pack of IPAs?
Well,
it all comes down to this tax thing.
Yeah, you know, there are, you're legally allowed to only brew a certain amount. Then you do have to get a tax stamp.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it doesn't seem to make sense to me. One of the other things I have here jotted down is the number of plants versus the amount that you're, the 2 ounces and the 12 plants.
Yeah.
And the thing that I learned at the hash bash is the thing as far as labeling, because you have to have some stuff that's maybe curing, as you mentioned with the tobacco,
yeah.
And you have a label on that says this is curing until such and such date, and I guess, you know, if say you're living with someone else who also has this card, that you would want to have your names on them as well, your separate names. This is so-and-so's, it's 2 ounces to be cured by such and such date, as long as you only have 2 ounces in that baggie that you're using from. And there's that misconception that people in medical marijuana are going around with in a wheelchair with a baggie of 2 ounces of weed tied to it, a nurse pushing them. But it just seems kind of I agree with the baby steps thing, that it is a baby steps.
No, it's kind of crazy on all levels.
We flood the gate and crush it.
Yeah, it's just another one of those things that has created this problem this insane war on drugs, which essentially, as I said, is the war on American people, isn't working. And then the idea of how do you regulate it, how do you tax it. I forgot what it is. Maybe some home brewers can give us a call, because there's a certain amount you can brew or ferment in terms of wine for your own consumption and family. But, you know, if all of a sudden you're starting to roll out the barrels, roll out a barrel of fun, the government's going to be, because, you know, the revenueers, as they used to call them, for the boys down south that made the moonshine. All right, thank you very much. Jalene, you ever had any moonshine?
I don't think so.
It'll grow hair on your knuckles. Yeah. I'll tell you. I've had some down in Tennessee.
I don't know about that.
This great moonshiner. Oh, I forgot his name. I was just reading about him. Just passed away. One of the legendary moonshiners from Tennessee.
Hey.
Here's Mike. Mike, hi. You're on the air. I don't have what city you're from, though. Where are you calling?
Hi, Peter and Jalene. I'm Sterling Heights.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
You know, there's one thing that hasn't been brought up as far as legalizing marijuana that, you know, even Obama should have really mentioned. I read that these Mexican drug cartels are growing marijuana in American national parks and national forests.
Okay.
And so it's not even safe to be, walking around, because if you stumble upon them, you're going to end up, you know, in a black plastic bag.
Yeah, Mike, I'll tell you, I don't know. I mean, who knows what kind of penetration these Mexican mobs have made. I mean, in terms of the big cities, I know they've made a lot. But people have, for years and years, grown marijuana in national forests.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I read this. I mean, it's, you know, someone can find it. You know, one of your producers out there on the Internet.
They didn't. They are not doing their job. They didn't come up with anything.
You know, this is... You know, and of course they're making a lot of money from marijuana. If marijuana was legalized, they'd be down to just making money from, you know, cocaine. And I don't know really how much, you know, how big cocaine is. I know marijuana's
sure,
probably making more money on marijuana. I don't really know, but we gotta do something about, you know, they're kidnapping people in the United States. I mean, that would really hurt. You know, it really cut down on their the money they make from us, you know.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, all we got to do, I mean, this seems almost, I don't know, what would you call it? Almost redundant to keep saying it. You just look at the model of the 1920s and Prohibition, what that produced in, you know, in gangland violence, in corruption of officials. I mean, there was so much incredible corruption, and they had particular cities. Like, I think one was Ecorse, and some of the, I don't know why. Is Ecorse? Why don't I know my geography? Is that on the Detroit River? But a lot of booze used to come across. Yeah, because Canada, they were cranking out the Canadian club, so then they would smuggle it into the U.S. Guy I know wrote a book for Wayne State University. Thanks for your call, by the way, about Prohibition. And I don't know, of all the things I read about it, sometimes they'd even come across Lake St. Clair, and in really cold winters, the whole lake would freeze over, so they'd drive their car across filled with cases of Canadian club, but fearful that they would fall in. They would take the doors off the car. So,
really?
Yeah, what happens if a car goes underwater? I mean, you know, you can't say, I'm just going to open the door and get out. So, you know, they would, the case they had to, you know, that's not, I was thinking, though, that's not kind of crazy, because, man, if you went into through into icy water?
Yeah.
Hello?
You know,
I'll just swim to shore.
When I was living in Miami, they had these little devices because there's so much water around there. And they have these devices that you can break your window with if you go underwater.
That's good.
The car dealers give them out, yeah.
Yeah. Here's Alex from Detroit. You're a Detroit police officer?
Correct.
Hey, you're on the air. What's up?
Well, here's the thing about being allowed to grow 12 plants, all right?
Yeah.
If you did that nationwide, I live in Michigan, so, I mean, you could grow in your basement or whatever, but nationwide, if you allowed anybody to get a license because they had a headache or some kind of medical problem, so allow them to grow 12 plants,
yeah.
I mean, the small guy would make some I would almost say the nation would be run by drugs. I mean, if it was like a, you know, if you allowed somebody's grandmother, which would have grown into somebody's grandmother's cousins, aunts, uncles, people who are legal, working with family members that might not be, too much money would be made underhand.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you look at...
The state can never regulate it. There's no way to regulate what 12 plants will produce or what the law is exactly when you do over 12.
Yeah, I know.
Well, so, that would be like a misdemeanor charge.
I mean, you can go online and see these plants that are like 12 feet tall. They could produce a lot. But is there any policy, or do you think individual officers, Alex, have a personal policy about when they find somebody like with one marijuana cigarette? Is that boom? Are they just right down to the jailhouse? Are you know? Like when I was a kid, the Detroit police, they stopped us and they found, you know, we were like 15 years old and smoking cigarettes. I mean, we could conceivably have been arrested, but what they would do, they would just, I suspect they probably smoked them themselves, but or threw them away. So is there any official or unofficial policy what you do when you find people with small amounts?
I mean, a small amount, two Ziplocs, let's say. Two small packages of marijuana can be sold for $5 a piece, right?
I don't know.
Let me tell you from my experience. Two small Ziplocs of marijuana can be sold for $5 a piece. What you buy? You buy this nickel bag.
$5?
They still have nickel bags?
They have $5 bag? I mean, I would have thought, I thought you were going to say they were like $400 a piece or something.
Cut it out. If the guy has some good weed, let's say it's a $20 bag.
Really?
Right?
Wow.
But you have two on you.
Okay.
You could say it was for personal use. Or you have two on you and you have 100 stash 200 feet away.
Yeah.
So every 5 minutes, I'm going to get two more bags. Because I'll tell you my one bag, I'm still just in possession of simple marijuana, right?
Gotcha.
So if every two people I see, I make $40 on what I grow in my basement for nothing, dude. On top of what I give to the government and claim for taxes.
Yeah.
I mean, because the guy that gets a seminar on Royal Oak, which I did at 10, because I like to stay current with, you know, I like to stay current. He gave a seminar on Royal Oak, and he couldn't tell us how much he made growing marijuana in his basement at 12 plants. However, he told us that he filed $2.7 million in taxes last year.
Well, maybe we're in the wrong business, Alex.
Right, exactly. Well, which is what this would turn into, and then we would be like a drug manufacturer country, dude.
Well,
all this kind of money, we'll just be, you know, in any country, any origin, you know, China, everybody could buy in, dude, and all we'd be was consumers.
Well, there is, I think, we're at the point, what happens with so many things in this country, that we're damned if we do and damned if we don't. Alex, normally I'd like to let you express yourself a little more, but I'm almost done. I want to thank you for calling and
cool, man.
For joining.
Hey, I listen to your show every morning on the way downtown. Please give me an update on 75 southbound any chance you can.
Okay.
Accident, traffic, because you could check that shit. I heard you can do it on the computer, but I'm not good with it.
All right, good.
Just cool, I listen. When I wake up, I listen to you, and I go to, you know, I'm downtown early.
All right, Alex, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. Here is Rick. Rick, you were at the Hash Bash on Saturday in Ann Arbor?
Yeah, Steve, I was at the Hash Bash, and I was a little bit disappointed. I was hoping there'd be a lot more, like it was in the past, at least as I remember going to them. There was a lot more political activism,
yeah.
You know,
yeah,
whether
yeah.
it be whatever about the war or... passes, whatever. There was none of that. It was pretty much just about weed and pretty much just a bunch of people just like sitting around.
Did they have speakers? Did they have speakers or anything?
Yeah, they did have a stage there. when I got there, the band wasn't going on, but really wasn't what I expected. Although I can say that there was, I did not see one cop there.
Well,
and there was probably at least 1,500 people. They were probably undercover, but there were people. I saw people smoking, and like not really in conspicuous, you know, like out in the open. They weren't kind of trying to hide.
Well, that's not a good idea.
That's not a good idea.
Not on the University of Michigan campus, which is governed by state law, where you can get a high misdemeanor, appropriately a high misdemeanor for smoking. But you know, if you're out there in Ann Arbor, it's just a small fine if you get popped. But generally, the university police and the state police, who have jurisdiction there, have undercover agents that that look like, you know,
someone who would smoke a noob.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say that almost always that there's somebody that's busted there. But 1,500 people, I mean, you know, things ebb and flow, and I guess... God, I think there. I was there at times when there was thousands and thousands of people there.
Yeah.
The whole this area called the Diag, where it occurs at the University of Michigan campus, was just absolutely covered with people. But I don't know. Maybe people thinking, hey, you know, we don't have to do this activism anymore. Well, that's not a good idea, though. All right, thank you for the report, Rick. I appreciate it, and I'll give a big, there you go, clearing the throat. This is, I mean, hey, why shouldn't my voice sound like this? Winter's coming back. Is it snowing now?
It is.
There's a big winter storm warning for Detroit. Yeah, I just when we started to see the tulips poking.
I know.
Ain't good. All right, let's go to John. John is in Romulus. John, hi. Just flew over your house yesterday.
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
I'm doing good.
Hey,
you're
good.
On the air.
I just had a little comment about the medicinal marijuana.
Sure.
You have all these people who have arthritis and acid reflux and all these, I don't know what you'd call it, just lesser problems, diseases or whatever. How do they go about, you know, becoming one of these people with a cart or however it is, if they can't work when they have arthritis in the knee or the leg or the hip or something like that? You know, they can't get up in the morning.
Well,
is
arthritis affected by smoking marijuana?
Well, you know,
it's good for what ails you.
I'm sorry?
I said it's good. You used to say it's good for what ails you.
Exactly. I mean, I guess it's more like a placebo effect to a lot of people, but it just seems, you know, I know a few people who do say it helps them with these things, and it's just like, what about them? You know, I understand the people with cancer or AIDS or, you know, those people who do need it because of these problems.
That's down the line, you know, maybe as it becomes more acceptable, they'll open those things up. I don't know.
Well, you never can tell. It moves along. All right, thanks for being our last caller. I appreciate it. Although we do have one email here from Eric, who wrote to calltalkyes@yahoo.com, answering Alex, the Detroit police officer who called in. If everyone was growing 12 plants, there wouldn't be a need to buy it. If everyone was growing, most people would only bother with growing a few plants. On the street, it'd be essentially worthless. Even if everyone in Michigan was growing, you'd supply more than the country could smoke. We could try. Only joking, folks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't do anything illegal. Don't do anything you can't control.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those are good words of advice.
Julie Jordan, thank you so much.
Peter, thank you.
Where are you? You going off to party somewhere?
God, no. I'm going to rest up for tomorrow night's game. Go Spartans. Thank you to Roger for answering the phones for us.
And Taylor's coming in, right?
Taylor Robinson will be in.
2 a.m.
2 a.m.
All right, and we've got a couple of interviews coming up. And let me look. I think the first one, to shoot an Iraqi. Wafar Bilal talking about his little project where you got to shoot him via the internet with paintballs. Wow.
Crazy.
All right, talk to you next week.
This is Night Call on 101 WRIF. Peter will be right back with more Night Call right after this.
Unravel iPhone 3G at the iTunes Store. Download the free WRIF app. Connect with just one touch and listen to 101 WRIF from anywhere in the world.
Is it wrong that I was totally aroused by that?
Details at WRIF.com. From 101.
Is your debt getting bigger? Are you falling behind on your bills and receiving collection calls? Well, it's not your fault. Millions of Americans are buried in credit card debt because of a job loss, divorce, medical bills, or just bad luck. But now there's a way you can get debt-free faster than you ever imagined. Call Credit Guard of America today for free information, and you'll learn how you can cut your monthly payments by up to half, lower or even eliminate your interest rates, and stop the collection calls once and for all. For free information, call 1-800-709-6136.
We owed $25,000 to the credit card companies. This year, we're going to be debt-free.
Credit Guard of America won't just help you get debt-free. We'll even show you how to improve your credit status.
They help me pay off 10 credit cards and rebuild my credit rating.
Call us today to learn how you can cut your monthly payments by up to half and get debt-free. For free information, call 1-800-709-6136. That's 1-800-709-6136.
Attention! Hydralyze is currently seeking participants with dark circles and puffy eyes. If you have dark circles or bags around your eyes due to heredity, fatigue, or aging, you are eligible to see results and participate in the Hydralyze trial. Hydralyze was introduced to improve delicate skin around the eyes and now has been shown to eliminate dark circles and bags. It effectively diminishes even dark circles caused by heredity. To participate in the Hydralyze trial and see results risk-free, call 1-800-505-7931. Fragile capillaries around the eye can leak, allowing blood to pool beneath the skin like an ugly bruise. But right now, you can join the thousands of people who have seen their dark circles fade away, watched as bags literally disappeared from view. Participate in the free trial by calling today. If you're serious about getting rid of your dark circles or bags around the eyes, you are eligible to participate and experience results with Hydralyze. Call this number today, 1-800-505-7931. Once more, that's 1-800-505-7931.
Are you struggling with too much credit card debt, sky-high interest rates, late fees, over-limit fees, having trouble just making the monthly minimums? We can help. We're Credit Card Relief. We've helped thousands of people become debt-free in months instead of years, all while saving thousands of dollars and without risking your family home. No, this isn't bankruptcy. It isn't one of those credit counseling deals or a high-interest consolidation loan. We're Credit Card Relief. We've been helping people just like you for nearly a decade. We're an attorney-driven program with an outstanding record of performance and client satisfaction. If you're serious about getting out of debt, call Credit Card Relief right now. Don't wait for the collection calls to start. The consultation is free, and the relief is real.
Call 866-290-8282. 866-290-8282. That's 866-290-8282. Homeowners, repainting your home's exterior every few years is a hassle and an expense. So how can you stop this endless cycle of painting forever? With premium vinyl siding from Sears. Just go to homesidingnow.com, request a free in-home estimate from Sears, and you can save $500. Sears vinyl siding is weather-resistant and virtually maintenance-free. You can count on Sears for quality installation and a wide selection of popular siding colors. So give your home new curb appeal with Sears vinyl siding. Just go to homesidingnow.com and you can save $500. Offer ends June 30th. Not available in all areas. Installation provided by Sears authorized licensed contractors. Licensee information available upon request. Stop the endless cycle of painting your house. Go to homesidingnow.com or click the Sears banner on your screen. Save $500 with Sears vinyl siding. Go to homesidingnow.com. That's homesidingnow.com. Did you know the tap water in your home may be hazardous? Not to your health, but to your appliances and your wallet. Your home's hard water creates pipe-clogging lime scale, and that can shorten the life of your water heater, ruin your dishwasher, and break down your washing machine. Lime scale deposits block the heating element, which costs you up to 25% more. That's an extra $1,200 a year in energy and wear. But you can remove lime scale without chemicals, magnets, or salts. It's easy. easy with HydraCare, the patented device used worldwide. See for yourself at bestsoftwater.com. You simply clip HydraCare to your main water pipe. HydraCare removes and prevents lime scale buildup in your entire plumbing system. Guaranteed. If your home has hard water, extend the life of your appliances and save money with HydraCare. Just go to bestsoftwater.com. Lower your energy costs. Visit bestsoftwater.com. That's bestsoftwater.com.
If you have acne, here's a phone number you need to call. 1-800-335-4191. Right now, we're looking for the biggest skeptics out there to test out a skin-clearing breakthrough risk-free. If that's you, give us a call. We're going to prove you can make your acne disappear and have clear skin by sending you a 60-day trial of Proactive Solution absolutely risk-free with our compliments. And when you call now, we'll also send you our Green Tea Moisturizer, a feather-light serum that absorbs instantly to deliver deep hydration for free. Call 1-800-335-4191. Our combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine. It's so effective, it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin and skeptics into believers. You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put Proactive to the test and we'll prove it. Get your free soothing green tea moisturizer with your risk-free 60-day trial by calling now. 1-800-335-4191. 1-800-335-4191.
You may have seen her on Oprah or The View. We're talking to Lucinda Bassett, founder of the Midwest Center, about a powerful free tape she's giving away to help people discover a way to leave anxiety and depression behind for good. Lucinda, what are some of the symptoms of anxiety?
Worry, fear, depression, insecurity, low self-esteem. I suffered with anxiety and depression for over 20 years. When I was at my lowest point, I was curled up in a ball on my living room sofa, afraid to live and afraid to die.
Wow. So what's the biggest anxiety myth?
I think the most challenging thing about working with people with anxiety and depression is that many of them think they're victims of their emotions. They think they'll always be worrisome, fearful, and depressed.
But that's not true.
There's real drug-free help that has the potential to last a lifetime. Millions of people have called for this wonderful free tape.
Okay. To request your free tape, call 1-800-449-7603. 1-800-449-7603. 1-800-449-7603.
Is your credit score holding you back? Are you paying more for everything just because you don't have perfect credit? Well, it's not your fault. Credit card companies are doing everything they can to keep you in debt and never let you escape. But I've got a system that can fix your credit score once and for all. And I'm going to send you a free tape showing you the power of my proven system today.
My credit score is now 758. My wife and I are shouting for joy right now.
Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My system doesn't just fix your credit score, it will permanently rebuild your credit status so it can never come back to haunt you again. It works no matter how bad your credit is or how much debt you have.
Our credit score was in the low 600s and now we're at 780.
You can wipe the slate clean once and for all. Call right now and I'll rush you my free tape. For your free tape, call 1-800-337-1713. That's 1-800-337-1713. 1-800-337-1713.
Look at those numbers.
Look at those numbers! Yeah! Can you believe we get paid to do this? It's only Monday! It's only Monday!
Excited about what
yeah.
you do? Well, pass it on. As a Junior Achievement volunteer, you can bring your enthusiasm to the classroom and give a few kids a little something extra to get excited about their future. Share a little something of yourself. Be a JA volunteer.
For information on how you can get involved, log on to JA.org.
WRIF HD1 Detroit.
Now, Night Call is back on 101 WRIF Detroit. Here's your host, Peter Werby.
These are losing just members on a daily basis.
Wasn't there about, a million soldiers died during the Iran-Iraq War of the 1980s? I mean, it's just a slaughter that the United States has never even faced.
Very true. I mean, 1 million people on both sides, on the Iraqi side and on the Iranian side. And imagine the country was about 13 million people at the time. Imagine losing 1 million people over the period of 8 years from 1980 to 88.
Mm-hmm.
And that has a very big impact on Iraqi and devastated the Iraqis, but also brought the wars of the regime. And he starts capturing people on the street and sending them to the front line. And if people are opposed to that, go on to the front line, they will be captured and executed sometime publicly.
Did you have family members that were involved in the fighting?
In the front line, I had my brother for a long period of time, and I have one of my cousins that was executed for being accused of belonging to another party. And that was the turning point for me when I saw how my cousin was just unjustifiably executed. I very much woke up and I start just opposing to the regime.
Let me reintroduce you as well. My guest is Wafaa Bilal. He is an Iraqi-American. He's been here since 1992. He teaches art in New York City, and his book published by City Lights is Shoot an Iraqi, Art, Life, and Resistance Under the Gun. And we'll get to the extraordinary part that art plays in this story in just a little while. Wafaa, are you from a Shiite background?
My family, yeah. I am a Shiite. I grew up in the holy city of Najaf, and most of the south of Iraq and big part of Baghdad are Shiite. So Saddam's, in particular, oppressed the Shiite in Iraq, because he's from a Sunni background, and Iran is mostly Shiite. So he was from the very beginning fighting the Shiite, and the Shiite never submit to his rule, and they always fought him politically and sometimes military within inside Iraq. But he was very afraid of the alliance of the Shiite of Iran and Shiite of Iraq, and that was part of why he attacked Iran right away after Khomeini took over.
Now, in 1979, when Khomeini took over,
exactly.
And then the war began in 1980. You talk in your book, Shoot an Iraqi, that you were forced to flee in the chaotic aftermath of the first Gulf War. What were the circumstances that drove you out of the country?
Yeah, well, this bring back to us to my days in college. And what happened is when I finished high school, I applied to art school, and that was one of my dreams as a kid to finish, to go to art school, to the Academy of Baghdad. And when I applied, I was rejected because of the executed cousin, and then I was sent to study geology and geography at the University of Baghdad. Through the years, about 5 years at the university,
We do not need to be afraid anymore.
From your iPhone 3G, download the free WRIF app at the iTunes Store. It gives you one-touch access to WRIF streaming live wherever you are. Get more details at WRIF.com.
The Riff.
When was the last time someone offered you a second chance to save thousands of dollars? If you owe the IRS or state at least $15,000, American Tax Relief is offering you a second chance to eliminate up to 85% of your delinquent taxes. Thousands of honest, hardworking Americans have turned to American Tax Relief for the help they need. Look, your tax problem isn't going to go away. In fact, it's only going to get worse unless you get help. Call 1-800-493-8159. Now you have qualified help in dealing with the IRS. This is the second chance you never had before to save up to 85% on the taxes you owe. Get the second chance you deserve and save up to 85% on your delinquent taxes. Call American Tax Relief for a free consultation to see how much money they can save you. Call 1-800-493-8159. Call right now for your second chance. 1-800-493-8159. That's 1-800-493-8159.
Please stay tuned to the following public announcement. The government and private banks are liquidating houses now. These houses have been foreclosed, confiscated, or repossessed, and will be sold. Homes may be sold for very little money down. To learn how to receive a free list of foreclosures, call 800-354-8211. All listeners whose last name begins with the letter A through N are allowed to start calling now. Listeners whose last name begins with O through Z can begin calling tomorrow, 9 a.m. Every house must be sold. The government and banks are very motivated to sell these homes quickly, so listings may not always remain available in all areas. So act now. I repeat, this is a public announcement. All listeners whose last name begins with the letter A through N can start calling now. Listeners whose last name begins with O through Z can begin calling tomorrow, 9 a.m. Call CRN's national toll-free hotline to learn how to receive your free foreclosure list at 800-354-8211. That's 800-354-8211.
I looked at her and I was just, wow, she looks so young.
I told her I couldn't believe how smooth her face looks. She's lost, what, 10 years at least?
I look at her and it's like I'm looking at a picture of my wife from 20 years ago. It's incredible.
How are ordinary women across America looking years younger? They've discovered the proven breakthrough called Hydroxytone. It erases wrinkles, tightens skin, and makes frown lines disappear from view. See for yourself by requesting a free trial of Hydroxytone today. The results are so impressive. Hydroxytone was given away in VIP gift bags at international film festivals. Try Hydroxytone risk-free and shed years from your appearance faster than you thought possible.
She always looked good to me, but now I can't believe how young she looks.
Call now for your free trial of Hydroxytone. For a limited time, try it before you buy it. 1-800-503-3580. But hurry, when this offer's gone, it's gone. Call 1-800-503-3580. 1-800-503-3580.
We've been married a year.
Yep, and in business together for 2 months.
Oh, it's a big move for us, starting a business and everything.
And for our future 9 children.
Oh, our future 2 children.
Well, there are lots of worries in starting a business, but creating an emergency preparedness plan shouldn't be one of them.
Yeah, we needed a plan in case of fire, flood, or cyber attack. I mean, how would we get the business back up and running?
Because without the business, we could never afford baseball mitts for the 9 kids.
We went to Ready.gov and downloaded everything we needed to create a plan. And Ready.gov has free templates, checklists, and more.
Yeah, without Ready.gov, I could easily get old before my time.
Mm-hmm.
The furrowed brow and nervous twitch.
But because of Ready.gov, we have one less thing to worry about.
Groupie showbiz.
Oh, stop it.
Go to Ready.gov for details on creating an emergency preparedness plan. Ready.gov. Becoming a success is hard work. Protecting it isn't. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, the Ad Council, and this station.
McGruff, the crime dog, here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff comic activity book.
And it's full of me.
The address is...
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride. And it's full of games and puzzles too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write. Not bad.
Can I do it again?
One more time. You'll be helping me take a fight on a crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ag Council.
Sometimes it's hard to make good decisions. We want to have fun and fit in, but we don't want to disappoint our families, our friends, or ourselves. There's a lot we're not sure about. But here's something you can believe. Real friends like you for who you are, so you don't need to drink to fit in. For more information, visit our website, thecoolspot.gov. Check it out. Brought to you by the Department of Health and Human Services, the National Institutes of Health, and the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism.
So what I did through the 9 years, I focused my effort in exposing how the embargo hurt the Iraqi people by building shows, by going on the road for speaking tours, just anything could change, it has to come from the people. And that's why I have so much faith in the people to change the status quo.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of being against the people of the United States, I saw them as a victim as well of this political machine of the government. And I very much start connecting with people through my art show. I start connecting to people by talking to them, going from one state to another to raise awareness of the embargo. And then the war, or just the drums of a new war against Iraq, we start hearing in 2002 and early 2003, and I couldn't even believe it. We're going to go to another war.
Well, and then it occurred, and again, civilians are being killed, and your own brother was killed in Iraq by a U.S. bomb, and not by a human being, but by an unmanned predator drone. Tell us what you discovered after this terrible event occurred, that about what you saw about
the, Well, in 2003, I was one of the few Iraqis who opposed the war. Iraqis in the United States opposing the war, because what I saw just the people going to be affected, not Saddam's regime. And I opposed it from the very beginning, and I know there are going to be great losses by turning Iraq to a war zone. So in 2004, unfortunately, I received the news that is one of my brothers was killed in Iraq. And at the beginning, I didn't get the details from the family how he was killed. But then I learned he was on the street when a drone plane scoped the city, and then an air-to-surface missile come to where he was standing in a checkpoint and killed him instantly.
And this, you watched a TV interview and found out that a young U.S. soldier whose job it was to launch missiles into Iraq from a computer in Colorado had been the one that had pushed the button. And
Very much so. So from 2004, and I have to say 2 months later, we lost my father because he was grieving and he couldn't handle the shock of losing his son all of a sudden. So we lost him 2 months later. But I continue to think how I could connect these two zones together, the comfortable zone here, which I live in, and there the war zone, the conflict zone.
So we get actually now to the title of your book, which we've been holding people in suspense now for almost 20 minutes.
Yes.
We just have a few minutes left, so we should probably go directly to that. The book is Shoot an Iraqi, Art, Life, and Resistance Under the Sun, Wafa Bilal and Carrie Leiterson. And you did essentially an art installation, Domestic Tension.
Yes.
And that's where the title, Shoot an Iraqi. Tell us about that.
Exactly. So in 2007, I was watching the news when I saw an interview with a soldier that's directing drone planes and dropping missiles on Iraq. And when she was asked by the reporter if she had any remorse on people's lives, she said, no, I trust the order of my superiors. And it really shocked me how we become disconnected even by targeting other people in other countries. And that's when the idea came, and the idea was I wanted to demonstrate how we are disconnected. So what I did, I moved my living space to a gallery space. I built a robot that shoot paintball at me, and I stayed in the gallery for 30 days. During that 30 days, I had people from 136 countries shooting at me with 80 million hits on the website and 65,000 times I was shot at. I never left the gallery space. And
whoever controls technology controls the world.
Listening to The Riff has never been easier. On your Apple iPhone 3G, hit the iTunes Store. Download the free WRIF app. Connect with just one touch and listen to 101 WRIF from anywhere in the world. Details at WRIF.com. The 101 Riff.
Do you owe too much money on your credit cards? Do you have over $12,000 in debt and don't know how you'll pay it off? I have a proven program that can help solve your debt problems. I'm Ted Brower, founder of Debt Settlement USA. Credit card debt can cause serious financial hardship, especially if you have loss of income, you're going through a divorce, or you have costly medical bills. Before things get worse, call Debt Settlement USA. We'll show you how to get rid of your debt faster than you think, without bankruptcy and without taking out another loan. Just call Debt Settlement USA right now for a free consultation. Your call is confidential and there's no obligation.
Call 1-877-560-8877. If you have over $12,000 in credit card bills, find out how Debt Settlement USA can help you. Not available in all states. Call 1-877-560-8877. That's 1-877-560-8877.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
The biggest threat to freedom isn't the next corporation involved in a scandal. It's not covert government operations, or even politicians. The most immediate, persistent, avoidable threat to your freedom is you. You're the only one that can keep yourself from voting, from writing a letter to your congressman, from reading a newspaper. Listen, take advantage of your rights. Learn how at explorefreedomusa.org. Your freedom thrives only when you use it. A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council.
My heart beats like crazy. My palms sweat. Vibrations become intense.
Katie Jensen is under the influence of Tom, her volunteer drum teacher.
That sounds great, Katie.
Spending one afternoon a month with kids like Katie, Tom helps them develop interests that keep them away from drugs. Be a coach, a mentor, a volunteer, because you have something to offer. Log on to helpyourcommunity.org or call 877-KIDS-313. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
If you want to own a new computer but think you can't get credit, listen to this. Now you're approved for a brand new Dell, HP, or other name brand computer for just $29.99 a week. There's no credit check, no hassles, and you won't be turned down. Just call Tronics Country at 1-800-990-2258. If you have a bank account and can afford weekly payments of just $29.99 for 12 months, you're approved for a new computer guaranteed. Even if you have bad credit or no credit, you will not be turned down. And with Tronics Country's program, you can help improve your credit rating. Call Tronics Country now for a brand new name brand computer or wireless laptop. Call right now, and with your paid purchase, you'll also get a free 20-inch LCD TV and a free color printer. Call Tronics Country right now at 1-800-990-2258. 1-800-990-2258. That's 1-800-990-2258.
I'd like a nice skim, no-whiff latte.
Hey, you're the Red Defender, right?
Yes.
I saw you in the paper. You saved a runaway train.
That's right.
So shouldn't you be out saving something?
I already stopped a bank heist this morning.
Evil doesn't take a break.
Can I sit down for a second?
Hey, dial back the caffeine, man.
Saving the world isn't easy. Saving a life is. One pint of blood can save up to three lives. Go to bloodsaves.com. A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy?
For freedom.
Freedom of religion.
What America stands for.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy? For honor.
Everybody. And watch out for everybody.
Freedom to vote.
Democracy.
Freedom to go outside and play with my kids.
And a German Navy to serve my country.
Every freedom that we have.
The right to raise our kids in peace.
My little brother. My wife. My kids. Our children's children.
The United States Navy.
It's not for ourselves alone that we serve.
Over there? Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her 2-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand.
Oh,
no, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at foreignlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Thank you for calling Rosetta Stone for your free language learning demo CD-ROM.
Yeah, what's the catch?
Excuse me?
Your ad says I can get a free Rosetta Stone demo CD. So, what's the catch?
No catch. We're so sure Rosetta Stone is the fastest, easiest way to learn a new language that we'll give you a free demo CD to try it for yourself.
Okay, but I've tried to learn a new language before and it was always too hard.
Well, Rosetta Stone is a completely natural way to learn a new language, just like you learned your first language. No tedious translation, useless memorization, or boring drills. It even comes in over 30 languages. Oh, but there is one thing.
The catch, right?
You could start speaking a new language in less than 10 minutes.
Aha! Wait, did you say 10 minutes? To get your free demo CD from Rosetta Stone, call now, 1-800-339-2117. Experience for yourself the fastest, easiest way to learn a new language, guaranteed. For your free demo CD, call now, 1-800-339-2117. That's 1-800-339-2117.
Attention, Hydralyze is currently seeking participants with dark circles and puffy eyes. If you have dark circles or bags around your eyes due to heredity, fatigue, or aging, you are eligible to see results and participate in the Hydralyze trial. Hydralyze was introduced to improve delicate skin around the eyes and now has been shown to eliminate dark circles and bags. It effectively diminishes even dark circles caused by heredity. To participate in the Hydralyze trial and see results risk-free, call 1-800-505-7931. Fragile capillaries around the eye can leak, allowing blood to pool beneath the skin like an ugly bruise. But right now, you can join the thousands of people who have seen their dark circles fade away, watched as bags literally disappeared from view. Participate in the free trial by calling today. If you're serious about getting rid of your dark circles or bags around the eyes, you are eligible to participate and experience results with Hydralyze. Call this number today, 1-800-505-7931. Once more, that's 1-800-505-7931.
At Gutters, deck, landscaping, or any other project you've been itching to get done, we can help make it happen. So tune in this weekend to Hire It Done, or go to hireitdone.com and let my pre-screen contractors compete for your business. Don't put that project off any longer. Visit hireitdone.com today. Get your project started by Metro Detroit's most professional contractors.
We're back with more Night Call on 101 WRIF Detroit. Here's Peter Werby.
Is your debt getting bigger? Are you falling behind on your bills and receiving collection calls? Well, it's not your fault. Millions of Americans are buried in credit card debt because of a job loss, divorce, medical bills, or just bad luck. But now there's a way you can get debt-free faster than you ever imagined. Call Credit Guard of America today for free information, and you'll learn how you can cut your monthly payments by up to half, lower or even eliminate your interest rates, and stop the collection calls once and for all. For free information, call 1-800-709-6136.
We owed $25,000 to the credit card companies. This year, we're going to be debt-free.
Credit Guard of America won't just help you get debt-free. We'll even show you how to improve your credit status.
They helped me pay off 10 credit cards and rebuild my credit rating.
Call us today to learn how you can cut your monthly payments by up to half and get debt-free. For free information, call 1-800-709-6136. That's 1-800-709-6136.
Some people think the youth of today are a lost cause, have misplaced priorities, and are too afraid to stand out and make a difference. But young people all over America are challenging this perspective with the help of World Vision. They're showing they care by going without food for 30 hours. They're saving the lives of others, and in the process, changing their own lives in a profound way. Support our young people in this effort. Find out how you can help. Call 800-7-FAMINE or go to 30hourfamine.org.
Energy hog team, get in that house and waste some energy.
Leaky windows and no insulation.
Wherever energy gets wasted, the energy hogs are there. Go to energyhog.org for energy saving tips and lots of hog busting games.
Energyhog.org, that's it.
Brought to you by the Alliance to Save Energy, the Department of Energy, and the Ad Council.
Here's a quick exercise that will not only get you feeling better, it will save you money, too. Just walk to your HR manager's office and ask if your company's Flexible Spending Account Program, or FSA, is reimbursing for non-prescription drugs. That's right, over-the-counter medicines. You already know and trust them to help you get relief from aches and pains, cold and flu symptoms, allergies, and more. Now, thanks to an IRS change in tax laws, they're eligible expenses in company FSAs. So ask your employer about non-prescription medicines and your Flexible Spending Account today.
Hello, I'm Faith Hill. You know the expression, practice makes perfect? Well, maybe nowhere is that more true than in music. Music study is one of the most valuable ways that a student can spend time. A young person who practices and studies music reinforces teamwork, communication skills, self-discipline, and creativity. All the qualities that kids need to be successful in their other schoolwork. As parents, think about encouraging your children to try out several instruments at school until they find the one that really clicks. Talk to the school's music teacher about finding affordable lessons so your child can see his or her progress as time goes by. And please don't forget that your kids all have an instrument that's free and sounds wonderful, their voices.
A PSA brought to you by NEMC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. Music, part of a sound education.
Prices assume 5% down payment at 7.5% APR over 30 years.
Wow, look at this place. 4 bedrooms, 2 baths.
Yeah, I know.
Jeez, you're not even 30. We have the same salary, Maggie. How can you afford all this?
My mortgage payment is less than $300 a month.
What? That's less than I pay for rent. How did you...
All I did was call BNI for a list of homes that are being sold for back taxes or foreclosure.
Home foreclosures are on the rise. That means there are great deals out there, especially for first-time home buyers. Like this listing, a 4-bedroom, 2-bath going for under $20,000. That's just $199 a month. Listings go fast, so call BNI for a list of these homes today. Call 1-800-495-7133.
I could actually afford to own my own home.
Yeah, and it's easy. Just call BNI for the list.
Properties that have been foreclosed or repossessed are a real bargain and sometimes sell for little money down. For a list of homes in your area, call 1-800-495-7133. 1-800-495-7133. That's 1-800-495-7133.
If you have acne, here's a phone number you need to call. 1-800-335-4191. Right now, we're looking for the biggest skeptics out there to test out a skin-clearing breakthrough risk-free. If that's you, give us a call. We're going to prove you can make your acne disappear and have clear skin by sending you a 60-day trial of Proactive Solution absolutely risk-free with our compliments. And when you call now, we'll also send you our Green Tea Moisturizer, a featherlight serum that absorbs instantly to deliver deep hydration for free. Call 1-800-335-4191. Our combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine. It's so effective, it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin, and skeptics into believers. You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put Proactive to the test, and we'll prove it. Get your free Soothing Green Tea Moisturizer with your risk-free 60-day trial by calling now. 1-800-335-4191. 1-800-335-4191.
This is actor Angie Harmon working as a volunteer tutor. Here she's teaching kids to spell habeas corpus. Here, prosecutable. Angie played a lawyer on TV.
To find out how you can volunteer in your community, go to usafreedomcorps.gov or call 1-877-USA-CORPS. When you help your neighbors, you help your nation. Make a difference. Volunteer. This public service message brought to you by USA Freedom Corps and the Ad Council.
Very appealing to me that I first learned about in many ways, or at least in some detail, in the 1999 film called The Cradle Will Rock. Tim Robbins put it together. It was about the federal theater project, and it was part of the Works Progress Administration. If none of those phrases or those names of that I've just laid out there make any sense, they will just in a few minutes, because it's a pleasure to welcome Susan Quinn. Susan Quinn has written Furious Improvisation, How the WP PA and a cast of thousands made high art out of desperate times. And Susan Quinn is the author of an award-winning biography of Marie Curie. She's lectured on her life all over the world. And also Karen Horney, as well as a book, Human Trials, the inside story of developing a drug for a challenging disease. We're reaching her in her home in Brookline, Massachusetts. Susan Quinn, welcome to the Peter Werby Show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, this is kind of without any background whatsoever, and I don't know if everyone has seen the 1995 Tim Robbins film, The Cradle Will Rock, but was that a pretty accurate portrayal of what went on during the Federal Theater Project?
It dealt with only one production of the Federal Theater Project, and there were several thousand. But I thought it was a very entertaining movie, and it was actually one of the reasons that I decided to do this book, because I thought there was more to tell. I think what The Cradle Will Rock, well, maybe I'd go back a minute and say, give some context for this. The WPA, which you mentioned was a Works Progress Administration, at the time it was started by the Roosevelt administration, it was the largest government project in the history of the world, and it employed 8.5 million people. The idea was to employ them doing things that they were skilled at doing, and of course the WPA really built much of the infrastructure of our country, thousands of miles of roads and public buildings and bridges. But the interesting aspect of it, which I write about in my book, was that the WPA also funded the arts under a program called Federal One, and there were four arts programs. There was music, there was visual art, and there are still murals around from that, and there was writing, writers, and then finally there was the theater project. And in some ways that's the one that we know the least about, and that's the nice thing about the Tim Robbins film, because it reminds us of this amazing theater project which employed 12,000 people at its height, doing all kinds of theater, and including The Cradle Will Rock.
Now, 8.5 million people are employed by the Works Progress Administration. That's a lot of people. I say parenthetically, by the way, that some of those murals painted under the Works Progress Administration still can be seen in Michigan area post office.
Mm-hmm.
They were quite taken with the kind of murals that Diego Rivera did at Detroit
yes.
Institute of Arts and the,
yep.
many of
yeah.
them. Yeah. It was a time, as we all know, of great unemployment. So 8.5 million people, did that actually cut into the total number of people that were unemployed during the 1930s?
It made it a substantial difference, a huge difference. In 1929, after the crash, when the banks collapsed and things really went bad, you know, there were as many as 20,000 people a day being fired every day. And for the next 3 years after the crash, there were approximately 20,000 people fired every day, every work day for 3 years. In some places, the unemployment was 50%. I think in places like Detroit, it was as high as 50%, certainly. And in the country, it was 25 to 30%. So this was, even though we're going through a recession, it's not anything like what people were going through in the early 30s. And then the argument was among many, including the Hoover administration, that there was no place for the federal government in terms of trying to remedy the situation. And not until 1932, when Roosevelt came in, did these government programs start in a massive way and rescued the country perhaps from revolution. People were hungry. There were food riots in the cities. It was a very desperate time.
Well, Susan Quinn, it's interesting you say that he saved the country from revolution, because many conservatives both then and today say that his programs were socialistic, that he was consciously a communist, and they had all sorts of calumny added to
mm-hmm.
his name. But on the other hand, many people say that the kind of working class uprising that were going on, that typified by general strikes like in Minneapolis, could have presaged what happened in Europe.
Yes, very much. And, of course, this was a time when Mussolini was rising in Italy, Hitler was rising in Germany, so there was a possibility of dictatorship here. And, in fact, when Roosevelt was finally elected and he went back to Hyde Park to figure out what he was going to do, One of his colleagues said, if you succeed, you will be remembered as a great president. If you fail, you'll be remembered as perhaps the worst. And Roosevelt's response to that was, if I fail, I shall be the last president.
That's interesting. Well, the book is Furious Improvisation, How the WPA and a Cast of Thousands Made High Art Out of Desperate Times. It's the story of the Federal Theater Project under the WPA. Why that title, Furious Improvisation?
Taken from an article describing Harry Hopkins. Harry Hopkins was Roosevelt's right-hand man and the head of the WPA. And as soon as he was brought on, he began what was really a very desperate and furious improvisation to put people back to work and to put them back to work in all kinds of jobs, including theater. So that's where it comes from. There was a feeling that things had to happen quickly, and they did. But the Federal Theater Project could have been just kind of not a very imaginative project to put actors back to work. But instead, because of who they chose to lead it, this woman named Hallie Flanagan, it became a very interesting and innovative experiment in theater. And for 4 years, something like 12,000 actors were acting all over the United States in a lot of interesting plays, including very sort of timely plays about the issues that people were faced with. There was something called The Living Newspaper, which was directly addressing, for instance, the crisis on the farms, the crisis in housing. There was one called One Third of a Nation, which was about the fact that one third of the nation was ill-housed. That was a Roosevelt phrase. Employing all these people in what was really new and innovative and also controversial theater.
Now, the director of the Federal Theater Project, as you mentioned, Hallie Flanagan, to some extent fits the pattern of the kind of biographies that you've done of Marie Curie and Karen Horney, both women who were innovative or pioneers as mm-hmm. women in the field that they operated in.
Go ahead. It's interesting you should say that because I have decided that seems to be what I'm attracted to, these strong and innovative women. And in fact, I started this book really as much more a biography of Hallie Flanagan. But as I thought about it, I thought more and more that I wanted to make it a much broader, have a broader reach and really be about the Federal Theater Project, even really more about the Depression through the lens of the Federal Theater Project. So Hallie Flanagan is definitely my main character in my, I would say, hero, mm-hmm. but although a flawed hero, but it's definitely, you're right, it is, it seems to be a part of a pattern.
Well, a good one indeed, but it is unusual that in a time where there was very little public participation of women in the kind of roles that Hallie Flanagan played in the Federal Theater Project, that she was selected. There was probably, among the 12,000 people that took part in the project, there was probably, 6,000 men that could have done it. Why Hallie Flanagan, and who chose her?
Well, she was chosen. She was chosen by Harry Hopkins, and Harry Hopkins and Hallie Flanagan both came from Grinnell, Iowa, and knew each other from Grinnell. But it was a controversial choice because not only were there lots of men, but there were lots of New York professionals who would have been more obvious. Hallie Flanagan was the innovative, cutting-edge director at Vassar College, and a lot of people thought, oh, that's just arty sort of a theater, and what are we going to do? It's not going to work for all of these unemployed pros. A lot of the unemployed actors had either been in vaudeville or had worked in on the road. But she turned out to be a great choice. There's an interesting Detroit connection with her, actually.
Mm-hmm.
She had an aunt who ran a settlement house in Detroit. It was called Melville House. I don't think it exists anymore. But it was a settlement house for workers at Ford's factory. And for the most part, they were from Eastern Europe. And Poles and...
KWRIS streaming live on your iPhone 3G.
It's the most powerful force in the universe!
Well, it is pretty sweet. Just hit the iTunes store to download your free WRIF app. It connects you to the Riff with just one touch. Details at WRIF.com. The Real Riff.
Your credit card debt has gotten out of control. If you're over your head at monthly payments, here's one powerful secret the credit card companies don't want you to know. You have the right to settle your credit card debt for a fraction of what you owe, allowing you to cut your debt up to half or more. That's bad news for credit card companies, but it's great news for you. We're Consumer Debt Advocate, and we'd like to offer you a free consultation that will help you start eliminating credit card debt. For your free consultation that will set you free, call 1-800-984-6953. Don't ruin your credit by declaring bankruptcy. Settle your debt and move on with your life. During your free consultation, you'll find out what the credit card companies don't want you to know. For your free consultation that will help you settle your credit card debt for a fraction of what you owe, call today. The number is 1-800-984-6953. 1-800-984-6953.
You may have seen her on Oprah or The View. We're talking to Lucinda Bassett, founder of the Midwest Center, about a powerful free tape she's giving away to help people discover a way to leave anxiety and depression behind for good. Lucinda, what are some of the symptoms of anxiety?
Worry, fear, depression, insecurity, low self-esteem. I suffered with anxiety and depression for over 20 years. When I was at my lowest point, I was curled up in a ball on my living room sofa, afraid to live and afraid to die.
Wow. So what's the biggest anxiety myth?
I think the most challenging thing about working with people with anxiety and depression is that many of them think they're victims of their emotions. They think they'll always be worrisome, fearful, and depressed.
But that's not true.
There's real drug-free help that has the potential to last a lifetime. Millions of people have called for this wonderful free tape.
Okay. To request your free tape, call 1-800-449-7603. 1-800-449-7603. 1-800-449-7603.
I looked at her and I was just, wow, she looked so young.
I told her I couldn't believe how smooth her face looks. She's lost, what, 10 years at least?
I look at her and it's like I'm looking at a picture of my wife from 20 years ago. It's incredible.
How are ordinary women across America looking years younger? They've discovered the proven breakthrough called Hydroxytone. It erases wrinkles, tightens skin, and makes frown lines disappear from view. See for yourself by requesting a free trial of Hydroxytone today. The results are so impressive. Hydroxytone was given away in VIP gift bags at international film festivals. Try Hydroxytone risk-free and shed years from your appearance faster than you thought possible.
She always looked good to me, but now I can't believe how young she looks.
Call now for your free trial of Hydroxytone. For a limited time, try it before you buy it. 1-800-503-3580. But hurry, when this offer's gone, it's gone. Call 1-800-503-3580. 1-800-503-3580.
Please stay tuned to the following public announcement. The government and private banks are liquidating houses now. These houses have been foreclosed, confiscated, or repossessed, and will be sold. Homes may be sold for very little money down. To learn how to receive a free list of foreclosures, call 800-354-8211. All listeners whose last name begins with the letter A through N are allowed to start calling now. Listeners whose last name begins with O through Z can begin calling tomorrow, 9 a.m. Every house must be sold. The government and banks are very motivated to sell these homes quickly, so listings may not always remain available in all areas. So act now. I repeat, this is a public announcement. All listeners whose last name begins with the letter A through N can start calling now. Listeners whose last name begins with O through Z can begin calling tomorrow, 9 a.m. Call CRN's national toll-free hotline to learn how to receive your free foreclosure list at 800-354-8211. That's 800-354-8211.
You must be your fairy godmother.
Yes. It doesn't take a fairy godmother to tell you that the right fit means everything.
Good heavens, child. You can't go in that.
Children under 4'9" need to be in a booster seat because they aren't ready for adult safety belts alone. Many parents miss the important step of booster seats.
Maybe you better explain things to him.
Booster seats raise your child up so that a safety belt designed for adults will fit and protect them properly.
Oh, That does make a difference.
Remember that 4'9" is the magic number. And get your little pumpkin there safely in a booster seat.
Hop in, my dear. Oh, thank you.
And like Cinderella, you can live happily ever after.
It's like a dream. A wonderful dream come true.
For more information, visit boosterseat.gov. This has been a message from the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Is your credit score holding you back? Are you paying more for everything just because you don't have perfect credit? Well, it's not your fault. Credit card companies are doing everything they can to keep you in debt and never let you escape. But I've got a system that can fix your credit score once and for all. And I'm going to send you a free tape showing you the power of my proven system today.
My credit score is now 758. My wife and I are shouting for joy right now.
Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My system doesn't just fix your credit score, it will permanently rebuild your credit status so it can never come back to haunt you again. It works no matter how bad your credit is or how much debt you have.
Our credit score was in the low 600s and now we're at 780.
You can wipe the slate clean once and for all. Call right now and I'll rush you my free tape. For your free tape, call 1-800-337-1713. That's 1-800-337-1713. 1-800-337-1713.
Home of WRIF.com. The latest rock news, concert listings, and where Riff is rocking the streets. Check out Motor City's deals and deals and get stuff for half price. Or your 101 The Riff online from anywhere in the world.
Website
worldwide.
101 WRIF and WRIF.com. Everything rocks.
Presenting great moments in FirstGov.gov history. For years, Americans have turned to FirstGov.gov for their government information. 2000, Mrs. Marilyn Gorman takes online government to new heights, applying for Social Security benefits before breakfast.
And got them. Okay, who wants pancakes?
2002, in what later became known as the download heard round the world, the Duggins of Wichita print their own passport applications in their underwear.
Honey, get dressed. Looks like we're going to Luxembourg.
And 2004, FirstGov.gov astounds Anna Maria Montero of Biloxi by promptly answering all her emails, no matter how often she asks a question about the government.
Sure, the U.S. government can get back to me every time, but that son of mine, huh.
Make your own great moment. Log on today, FirstGov.gov. It's government made easy.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Every day, the chances of becoming a victim of mercury poisoning increase. Mercury poisoning may cause neurological damage that impairs learning, vision, and memory. And mercury itself has become part of our everyday lives, absorbed by certain fish, taken into our bodies, and passed on to our children like a common cold. But you can stop this. Log on to earthshare.org and find out how. A public message brought to you by Earthshare and the Ad Council.
Play ball! Now pitching, Dave Black.
Dave is about to catch his opponent off guard. Not with his nasty fastball, no. Instead of a fastball, Dave will be hurling a tomato.
And the pitch.
Ooh.
Using tomatoes as baseballs won't go over well with anyone. But if you're looking to hit the ball further and throw better, eating a healthy diet that includes fruits and vegetables is a home run. Packed with nutrients, they could help keep your body healthy and strong, giving you the energy you need to hit that grand slam. When you look at it this way, eating tomatoes is playing hardball against the competition. Run, throw, think, eat better. Can your food do that? Find out at smallstep.gov.
That's smallstep.gov.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Pleasure.
Thank you for listening to Night Call on 101 WRIF.
The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WRIF Radio. Now, stay tuned for more Riff Rock on 101 WRIF Detroit.
101 W. Homeowners, repainting your home's exterior every few years is a hassle and an expense. So how can you stop this endless cycle of painting forever? With premium vinyl siding from Sears. Just go to homesidingnow.com. Request a free in-home estimate from Sears, and you can save $500. Sears vinyl siding is weather-resistant and virtually maintenance-free. You can count on Sears for quality installation and a wide selection of popular siding colors. So give your home new curb appeal with Sears vinyl siding. Just go to homesidingnow.com and you can save $500. Offer ends June 30th. Not available in all areas. Installation provided by Sears authorized licensed contractors. Licensee information available upon request. Stop the endless cycle of painting your house. Go to homesidingnow.com or click the Sears banner on your screen. Save $500 with Sears vinyl siding. Go to homesidingnow.com. That's homesidingnow.com. Now.com. Did you know the tap water in your home may be hazardous? Not to your health, but to your appliances and your wallet. Your home's hard water creates pipe clogging lime scale, and that can shorten the life of your water heater, ruin your dishwasher, and break down your washing machine. Lime scale deposits block the heating element, which costs you up to 25% more. That's an extra $1,200 a year in energy and wear. But you can remove lime scale without chemicals, magnets, or salts. It's easy. With HydraCare, the patented device used worldwide. See for yourself at bestsoftwater.com. You simply clip HydraCare to your main water pipe. HydraCare removes and prevents lime scale buildup in your entire plumbing system. Guaranteed. If your home has hard water, extend the life of your appliances and save money with HydraCare. Just go to bestsoftwater.com. Lower your energy costs. Visit bestsoftwater.com. That's bestsoftwater.com.
Check into All American Pet Resorts next time you vacation, need doggy daycare or grooming in St. Clair Shores, Royal Oak, and Roseville. Go to allamericanpetresorts.com for a location near you. That's allamericanpetresorts.com.
I love my dog so much that I repainted my house his favorite color.
I love my dog so much that I let him use the paper before I read it.
Back to the Riff.
Well, that was loud.
101 WRIF. The Riff.
back to me.